B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh my God. It just doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. This is every day, guys. It doesn't stop. The bad just keeps coming and coming. Actually, this is the wrong analogy. The bad just keeps getting piled on top. Like, it's a mountain of dew. Right? Like, we are an officially a dump. Not a dumpster fire. A dump. A landfill. That's what our landscape has become. The landscape is now a landfill. And more trash got piled onto the landfill yesterday. And I didn't think, well, I put it this way, I didn't not think it could get worse, but I remember sitting here going, wow, you know, of course they're going to make the playoffs. And we're talking Phillies now. Of course they're going to make the playoffs. It's impossible not to make the playoffs. It's impossible not to make the playoffs. Right? Right? Seriously, right? They have to make the playoffs. Eight teams make the playoffs. The top two in each division and two wild card teams. And the Dodgers and the Padres and the Braves just win all the time. So everybody else is mediocre to stank. So they got to be with that payroll, have to make the playoffs. And we wake up today and they're out of the playoffs. Not only that, they're a full game behind two teams tied for the eighth spot. It is almost impossible to try to do. I got to applaud Matt Klentak. I do. I can't believe he's assembled a pitching staff that doesn't make the playoffs with the sixth highest payroll in baseball. That is a feat with a PH, baby. PHEAT. Wow, Maddie. Think about yesterday. The ace. Come on, Nola. Oh, no. That's right. Against the dead Nationals team. That team's dead. They're not making the playoffs. They're dead. So, he's horrible. Now, contributing to the non-ace performance was the awful defense played behind him by the number one overall pick. Not Garrett Cole. Not Bryce Harper. No. Mickey Moniak. Yeah. Mickey Moniak. Who's got no business playing in Andrew's Sunday League, let alone Citizens Bank Park. But that's not the case. So then you got bullpen game, right? But so does the Nationals. Nationals stink too. And you get out to another lead, right? And we've seen this again. We've seen this all too often. In fact, listen to this stat. 20 times this year. 20. Now, they only play 60 games, right? So, over a third right now. 20 times this season. The Phillies have allowed four or more runs in an inning. In a 60-game season that still has four games to go, 20 times they've allowed the opponent to score four or more runs in a single frame of baseball. That is impossible to do. And it was excruciating, right? Because, you know, I got to the lead, and of course, Nats, great. But they tie it. They actually tie the game. Then, and I'm a sucker, what a dope, because I'm watching it. they take the lead 7-6. And they got a runner on third and less than one out. Up 7-6. And they load the bases. Right? They load the bases. And they don't score. All right. Well, whatever. That's bottom of the inning. Start with the runner on second. Get the runner on third. One out. And what happens? Oh, yeah. Walk off to a nobody. A walk off. And they lose two more. To a dead Nationals team. Nationals team that won the World Series. And then it's been a give up the whole pandemic season. And this collection of players, they can't get to the top eight in the National League. And that's after the 0-2 Eagles and after the Sixer debacle. And look, Flyers, thank God for them. But after that game seven, we have become a landfill. The flies, like they're buzzing around. The dew is everywhere. Dew, by the way, everywhere. Just garbage, nasty trash. And I guess it's fitting for Klentak because he's at home as a dumpster diver in the trash to try to pick players. Because that's all he's done during his tenure as GM of the Phillies, who was supposed to be the next Theo Epstein. What a laughable joke that is. And let's go to a man who I know his soul is broken. The Chunas.
Hey.
What's up?
So yesterday, it was a nice day out yesterday. You know, I like the chillier weather. So I thought I'd go to a bar. I had some stuff to do. I stayed here till about 4 o'clock, then had a conference call yesterday, 5 o'clock, and I was like, you know what? I've been working hard today. I deserve to go to a bar and watch my Phillies and have a beer. I stayed for the remainder of game one, which I was disappointed by, and then I watched game two. The second I saw...
Well, who disappointed you the most? Was it Nola, because he's supposed to be an ace, and he didn't pitch ace-like, or was it the fact that the number one overall pick, who, thanks to our friend Gabriel... Mm-hmm. On the text board says Markel Moniak stinks.
Yeah, he's pretty bad. You know how I feel about Nola. I think he's a above average number two starter. But yeah. I will say this: it wasn't 100% on him yesterday. Moniak in the outfield.
It wasn't.
Jay Bruce has to make that play. Right. Bryce Harper can't bobble everything.
But here's the thing: he didn't have great stuff.
No,
he didn't have overpower, and he was facing a team that was dead.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, yesterday, Juan Soto hits his first home run of the month of September, right? He's on he's one of the best players in baseball.
Yes.
He's on a cold streak. This team's falling apart. They're not going to make the playoffs. And on September, 22nd, 23rd, whatever date yesterday was, he finally hits a home run, this one off of Jojo Romero. So who disappointed me the most? I don't know, man. I can't pick it at this point. I left the bar. The outdoor dining, there's a TV. I texted you this yesterday. When I saw Brandon Workman coming out of the bullpen, I said, all right, see you guys. I paid my tab and left. Before I got home, I got the text. Yeah, good thing you left. You missed it. I knew what was coming.
Well, I texted too.
Yeah, I knew they were going to lose. I knew Brandon Workman, whose ERA is over 5 this year, was going to blow another save. I knew that it was going to be the 13th blown save for the Phillies on the year. I knew that was coming, which is why I left. Because this team is just an absolute disaster. And I don't know, maybe you don't go to Brandon Workman, Joe. I'm kind of upset with Joe Girard. I get it. He has slim pickings coming out of the bullpen. It was a bullpen game yesterday. Maybe you don't go to Workman again. The dude sucks. He's my least favorite Phillies player of all time, officially.
Come on, better than sorry it wasn't good enough.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like him either.
I mean, come on. They all
sorry
stink.
It wasn't good enough.
They're awful.
It's a pool of...
My man can't throw a curveball that doesn't finish above the letters or at the letters.
Yes, it's a pool of cess.
Yes. I
with the buzzing flies around it. I mean,
I'm legitimately heartbroken right now.
Yeah, I'm sickened by the landscape.
Yeah.
The Phillies, listen, I mean, just in full disclosure, you and I have spoke. I love them to death. Mm-hmm. I really do. But I've been on Klenchak for the whole time.
The guy here. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't like his mentality. I don't like his philosophy. I don't like anything, and I had not liked anything he's done.
I don't like anything he says. The Real Muto thing the other day.
Well, we'll play that too, because that's another nail in the coffin.
He's a dope. Period.
But again, this is now it's Middleton's fault, because he's the one who brought McPhail, that arrogant loser. And let's be right, you're a loser. Mm-hmm. You have lost since the Minnesota Twins of the 90s, early 90s, the days of the baggy, before Andrew was born. So you could take your born on third base ass and get the hell out of this town. But he also brought in Klenchak and has talked about Klenchak as though he is Theo Epstein.
Yep.
And that insults my intelligence. And the only thing close to the Phillies bullpen is, I don't know, the Eagles wide receivers. Like, it's just you go pick, go around. The Sixers can't shoot,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, just go around the whole horn. It's the same thing.
Took until 2 years ago for the Flyers to get a goaltender.
Yes. It's just rampant ineptitude.
It's like the Jason Kelsey speech. Where he goes, it's the whole team. Well, you know what? It's the whole city.
It really is. I'm so sick to my stomach. I thought, and listen, I'm a fool, right? And I raise my hand to be at fault here, because I'm the big mouth talking about the roaring 20s. And the only thing roaring are my bowels. That's the only thing roaring. And this is outrageous. It really is. I don't want to hear about pandemics. I don't want to hear about lack of this, lack of that. I don't want to hear it. It's all just excuses and excuses. I don't want to hear about a freaking Super Bowl. I don't want to hear it. All right?
Klenchak had the audacity like 2 months ago to blame the pandemic for the lack of velocity coming out of the bullpen.
I know.
Tommy Hunter, 2 months later, is still throwing an 88-mile-per-hour cutter. I'm watching teams around the league with guys coming out throwing 96, 97 out of the bullpen on a given night.
Now, you want to talk about the height of just being weak? I mean, we're talking about the ultimate weak. Is that guy, because mm-hmm. that guy has trotted out every excuse known to man. In fact, I don't know if Dale Carnegie writes the how to influence people, he's got to write the book of excuses.
Yes.
How to win friends and influence people, right? Whatever it was. He's got to write the book of how to make ridiculous excuses. I mean, the stuff that I've heard is it really is unfathomable.
Don't forget, they weren't going to pay JT Realmuto because the landscape changed. Mookie Betts then gets like a $400 million contract.
No, what I mean, there hasn't been a move that has worked out. Listen, I love Bryce Harper, and the only reason why they get Bryce Harper is because Middleton writes a check, right? That's really it. But he hasn't done anything that, when we talk about building a team, all his analytics and his Ivy League, Dartmouth, I'm going to reinvent the sport. He has not just failed miserably, he's been an embarrassment. An embarrassment. I mean, to have that, the resources of that payroll, and to put that out, that product. But again, it's the whole city. You know, we're sitting here, and the three biggest, you know, hopefuls. I'm not going to use the word stars, superstars, none of that. The three biggest hopefuls Embiid, Wentz, Simmons, they're getting crushed by the people. And here's the thing. I don't know about, I don't know. Is it on them or is it on the people around them? I'm honestly asking the question. Is it what's around these guys? Is it how they've been coached? Is it what's next to them on the court or on the field? Or is it their own flaws that they'll never overcome? I don't know. Yeah, I know. Ben don't shoot. Well, I don't know. If he had a different coach, would he shoot? I don't know. If he had other guys around him, would he be better? I don't know.
He wasn't nurtured as much.
I don't know. All I know is this is where we're at. We're standing inside a 4-for-4 landfill. And I don't know what's real and what's not. I just know one thing, Andrew. It stinks. It stinks. It smells. As I sit and peer on the landscape in every direction except the Flyers, it smells. It's that bad. The only thing I hear are the buzzing of flies. And I'm sad. And I'm sick. And listen, you guys deserve better. This town deserves better. These fans who care and they love these teams. Love them. Unconditionally. They deserve better. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry for thinking that Wentz could play and that Simmons could play and that Embiid could play. I'm sorry because I don't know if it's those kids or it's the guys around them or if it's the coaching or the general managing or whatever it is. All I know is there's only one truism. Right now, there's only one fact as I sit here in the middle of this landfill. It stinks.
It stinks! It stinks!
Thank you, Rock. All right, 610-632-0975 is how you join us. I don't know where to go. I don't know where to go. I know one thing. I know you guys deserve better. We'll talk about it. We'll commiserate. Just make sure wear your mask. Not just because of the pandemic, but because, Andrew,
it stinks.
All right. Since the operative word stinks, right? Germs everywhere.
It stinks!
We gotta go to Schaefer Supply. That's right. My man, Eric Schaefer, and his company, Schaefer Supply, is how we clean it up. Hey, Clintac, come here. I got an electrostatic sprayer right in the forehead. Look, classroom is back. The kids are back in school. I have a virtual back-to-school night tonight. School districts in Philadelphia and surrounding counties have been relying on ShaferSupply.com for their cleaning and janitorial needs since the 60s. All right, now as our attention turns back to school, Shapers is uniquely positioned to keep our students and teachers safe. Our cherished schools clean. A lot of schools right now are having their Wednesday break to clean. They call it like the disinfectant day. Well, this midweek cleaning can be made easier with the help of Shapers' wide-ranging supply of electrostatic sprayers and foggers. Listen, if you're a superintendent, director of janitorial, custodial purchasing, you got to do yourself a favor. Visit ShapersSupply.com. Find the sprayers right for your schools. That's ShapersSupply.com. S-C-H-A-P-E-R-S. Supply.com.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Stinks!
Yep, stinks! So, I need to smile, man. I need to laugh. And so I need some gallows humor. So, for gallows humor, you know where I go? I go to the Pig Pen Hoedown.
Okay, everybody gather around. It's time for the Pig Pen.
Romero makes an unbelievable entrance from the bullpen.
Two on, one out. Tying runs at second. Soto, left field. Well hit. See you later. First home run of September. It drives in three. And the Nats lead 4-2.
You get down to the left-handed hitting Yadiel Hernandez.
Good swing. Tailing left field corner. Thames will score easily. And the Nats grab one of those runs right back. Andrew Stevenson again. Turns on it. Right field corner. Another extra base hit. Another RBI.
That one's out toward right field. Going back on it is Harper. And it is gone. Oh, my. A two-run walk-off home run for the 32-year-old rookie Hernandez. And the Nationals have just swept out the Phillies. You just can't make this stuff up.
When you're doing the Pig Pen Hoedown, gotta have a collar you can trust. Cause from Pig Pen to Hoedown, he really kicks up some dust.
Sorry it wasn't good enough.
Thank you. That always brings a smile on my face. When things are rough, ladies and gentlemen, we always have the Phillies bullpen to cheer us up. The best about the Pig Pen Hoedown are the little characters coughing.
Yes. Or you could say choking. Because that's what they do every night.
Yes.
Sorry it wasn't good enough.
That's great. That is great. Well, I don't know, but I think the town has about had it. And I think it's time to sound the alarms. Yes, this is not a rehearsal. This is an actual emergency. Yes. We are in the dump. All these teams.
Sorry, it wasn't good enough.
You know what I love about the alarms? You still have the European. That's a good siren. All right, let's keep talking.
Is that the one seat of sirens?
That is the one seat of sirens. The European one.
Sorry, it wasn't good enough.
It stinks!
All right, it's time to talk to our friends. Let's go to George in Mount Airy. Georgie, good morning.
Look, man, how do I, there's a lot I want to say, so I'm going to try to squeeze it all in.
Hey, go ahead.
So this weekend, had to go see my family, haven't seen in a long time in New York. Saturday night, I'm telling them, yo, I need to see the Eagles game. They're like, how you going to do that? So my cousin has a Fire Stick. Of course, it doesn't work. It works, but I just couldn't get the game on TV. So I'm looking at the stats online. And the first thing I see when the game starts, Sanders fumble. And I'm like, this can't be right. Fumble. And then about an hour went by, maybe an hour and a half, and I'm seeing 21-3. Am I right about that?
Yes.
So I'm like, maybe it's good I don't see this game because I don't want to be cussing around my family that I haven't seen for years.
Right.
But then, after all that, just that treachery on Sunday, I started thinking about what this team is from top to bottom. And I start with Howie. And I'm like, well, I've been trying with Howie for years. He can't draft. So we're lost there. Then, for whatever reason, Carson is regressing. Well, there's a few reasons why Carson is regressing. Rager, I actually like him. It's just too early, and I want to see more. But with Carson going through whatever he's going through, it's like, you don't even know. That line is old. Our running backs are serviceable. Like, look, I love Miles Sanders, but we need another big back. And, you know, I love Boston Scott, but let's keep it real. He's a utility back.
Yeah.
Our receivers are young, besides Deshaun, and that's only an injury. I love Deshaun, but we all know he's an injury away from not playing. More importantly, getting on this defense, because we have no linebackers once again in franchises. Like, for real, you can just say there's a D-line and a secondary.
Right.
And let's start with that D-line.
Yeah.
There is no pressure coming from anywhere. Look, I love Brandon Graham, but let's keep it real. He's not an every-down defensive end that's going to get you 10 or more sacks a season. He's getting older. Derek Barnett, I'm done with that. That's not going to work. We all see it's not going to work. Whatever the problem is, it's not going to work. Fletcher is getting older. Was he even playing in the game on Sunday? Because for the past two games, I haven't heard a peep out of Fletcher. I don't know what's going on, but I don't see no pressure from him. Nobody's worried about him. And then Josh Sweat, I mean, I don't even know what to think of that. If you're dependent on Josh Sweat, we're really in trouble.
You know, listen, but, I mean, I think the biggest thing that I worry, because I think the front will be fine. I do. But, I mean, you're right. They have no linebackers.
And look, Jalen Mills, does he remind
you of Brian Dawkins?
Because, look, about the linebackers. Honestly, if I'm Cincinnati, I'm running like I've never seen a team run before. And not only that, I'm throwing right in the middle. Because there's nobody that's going to stop them.
No.
I'm throwing right in the middle with tight ends and wide receivers. Like, A.J. Green should have a career day, and whoever their tight end is, he should have a career day. Like, this team is done. Like, can't even talk about the secondary.
Georgia, I hear you, and my heart goes out to you, Georgia. You're a great fan, and I mean, we just got to commiserate. I don't know. Right today, I have no answers. I love you.
I'll say this lastly. The only bright spot of all of this is that this is now the third game of the season. That's the only bright spot out of all of this.
I hear you, brother. Listen, be safe, all right? Don't forget, all right, be safe, brother. Take it easy. I know, just get it off your chest. Today's not, there's no answers today.
No.
I got no answers today.
I screened George's call. You know, I came in here to the studio.
Yes.
He called before the open even started.
Yeah.
And I did the whole fanatic, what's your name, what do you want to talk about? He goes, man, this Eagles team. And I could just feel it. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I hear you, man. I'll be ready.
Yeah.
You're first.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's how we feel. And there's a good reason to feel that way.
We're taking left hook after right hook after uppercut with these teams right now.
It's one after the other after the other after the other. It's unreal.
You're doing that boxing read. I feel like I'm in the ring right now.
Yeah. No, I know. Let's go to Steve in Delaware. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Stevie.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Stevie. How you doing, buddy?
All right, man. So, listen, Carson Wentz is my guy. He's really my guy. Like, I believe in him 110%. But this morning, I found this stat, and it was a little disturbing.
Uh-huh.
They said since 2017, for the last three seasons, when not playing the Giants or Washington, Carson went 7-15.
Yeah, makes sense. The four games last year were against those teams, right?
So yeah, and when I look at it, I'm like,
but you know what?
We're not beating anyone.
Yeah, but you know what? All that is you've seen it. Like you don't need a number like that. You've lived through it.
Right.
The bottom line is he good enough to be a franchise quarterback, not a, you know, one of these also ran guys that you know who they are that can't play, and or is he good enough to win with them, or is it what's what's around him, or is it who's coaching him? I mean, you know, that's basically where we're at. I don't. Again, I see talent there, but. I mean, he hasn't done it consistently.
And I know he can do it. I think it's just the coaching. I mean, Doug has not changed anything from the time he got into his playbook. No formation, no schemes. It's almost like he has Andy Reid playbook that he left there on the mantle in the office. And he's just using that old playbook that Andy didn't want. He just like, oh, well, I'm not going to change anything. We're running these same plays. We're trying to make it work. And if it doesn't,
I don't know. I mean, you know, again, when they won the Super Bowl, it was a different coaching staff. And then, of course, we know the story of the three games in the playoffs with Foles. So we know all that stuff. But I don't know. I really don't know. I know that what my eyes tell me is that the weapons are probably insufficient. But again, he is trying way too hard. I don't know. I don't know if he can ever get it back. He might be a guy that just needs to go somewhere else.
I mean, I think this is that make or break game for the team. This Sunday, if we don't win this, it's a downward spiral. I feel it in my gut, my soul.
Yeah, I know. I feel the same way.
It's going to be a lot.
Steve, I feel the same way, man.
What's going on?
Yeah.
You know, you guys enjoy. Thanks,
brother. You know, always, Steve. No, I feel the same way. I mean, you got to win. Or else, if you lose to the Bengals at home, pandemic, no pandemic, this thing starts to get ugly in a big way. It gets ugly fast. Now, I don't know what the answer is. Again, I don't know. I think Carson Wentz has talent. I think he's wound too tight and trying to play hero ball and make plays and tries too hard. And I think that's his biggest sin, S-I-N. And then the external stuff I don't think is sufficient. From Peterson to the outside receivers. Now, again, Jalen Reagor may be a player down the line. He's just not ready yet. And Deshaun is his only, you see it, his only comfortable connection. And for some unknown reason, the guy plays half the snaps.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Like when Peterson says, we made a concerted effort getting the ball in the second half.
What about the first half?
I mean, I don't know.
And this was coming off of week one where he targeted him seven times.
And only played 54%.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I go, all right, well then, if he's playing more snaps next week, he better get, you know, you better have him in the game plan.
Yeah.
And you don't have him in the game plan until the second week? Or second half?
Yeah.
Excuse me? So he better be 50 targets next week.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you're watching. Like, I don't know why J.J. Arcega-Whiteside plays.
Yeah, neither do I.
Like, really?
He stinks.
I mean, why would you play? Why does he play?
It stinks!
Seriously. He's slow?
I mean, I put Ward out there and go with Ward.
Yes. Yes. JJ's slow. He doesn't fight for the ball. He dropped. I mean, he had another drop.
Doesn't go run good routes.
He had another drop last week. that third and short.
Yeah.
Now we didn't see a replay of it because the broadcast was bad. But
I mean, I know you had no depth at receiver, so he's got to play some snaps because you're not going to go with the three the whole game.
Well, he shouldn't be a read on any of the snaps then. He should just be out there.
But what? I mean, he just can't play.
Flat he's terrible. Out. He's awful.
So I don't know.
You want me to add to the bullpen mess?
Sure.
My man Lenny on the text board sent me a tweet from John Fisher, who used to do stats and info for Baseball Tonight, which is a great show that they should never have gotten rid of, but what do I know?
Yes.
Tonight, this last night, tonight was the 21st time this season the Phillies bullpen had more runs allowed than innings pitched. Think about that.
21 times. It's the same thing of the four runs in an inning.
Yeah.
Right? 21 times. They play us, and that's in 56 games.
Mm-hmm. He says that's almost 40% of their games.
Yeah.
It has now happened more than once in every series.
Yeah. But you have Klentak? Because I wanted to get to it yesterday, but, you know, the Eagles took precedence. Just listen to this idiocy. Listen to what the general manager of your baseball team is telling you, and then you tell me why you would ever, ever listen to anything he has to say about anything. Forget baseball. Anything. Listen to this.
I think what I've said all along is, you know, we would love to have JT here, but when you make that trade, you know, you're trading for 2 years of control, and you know that. So, you know, Sixto looked really good against us. He's looked good this year. But you know, we've had two very productive years of JT as well.
So the 2 years of JT, that's it. 2 years of JT after you don't sign him trumps the 1 year of Sixto Sanchez. And by the way, you're a moron if you didn't see that he's got elite stuff. Like, you shouldn't be in baseball. You shouldn't be in baseball. If you think, first of all, you trade him, right? And everyone else goes, wow, this kid, he's got generational stuff.
Pedro.
Now, again, I'm not in Clearwater, right? I'm not over on the minor league field in the minor league complex sitting there watching them. Maybe if you had guys who knew what they were looking at instead of just reading the spreadsheet, you would have realized that he's got generational stuff and you shouldn't trade him for JT, who you didn't sign.
I love Cap.
I mean, for real? How could you take anything that guy says? Man, I wish to God he would come on. I wish to God Middleton would come on. We don't have the rights, unfortunately. I love the Phillies. I wish to God, just say, guys, I mean, how could you make that trade? How could you even utter the statement? How could you utter the statement? How could you say that the 2 years of JT cancels out the year of Sixto? He looked good against us. No, dude. He's got generational stuff. It's going to look good for years. But you, who have a dearth of pitching and gave us Pavagita and Vinny V and FF Eflin, who's pitching today, for years and years and years, you trade him. See Pavetta pitch last night?
Yeah, he struck out, what, eight?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Don't forget, he did bring in Vargas and Smiley last year.
Right, right. Oh, my God. Seriously, guys, this is what your general manager's telling us. What do you say to that? I mean, have you ever seen? I don't know. I didn't live through the bum days of the, you know, 60s and 70s before they got good. But really? I mean, I remember the bum days of the late 90s. And those teams were like all-stars compared to this bullpen. You know what I got to do? I got to go and get hooked up over at Xceva. I need my, is it possible? I wonder if they do this. Because they, what they do is they have IV of vitamins. That's why I love Xceva, vitamin infusion therapy. So you get an IV of vitamins to help you, your body, and your immune system, and your mood, and all the stuff that your body craves, and you have it in an IV, and they have different ones. They have stuff to aid beauty, your hair and your nails and stuff like that, and they have stuff for immune system, the stuff for energy, which I love. And I do. You need one for that combat sports depression. Maybe there's Xceva. I got to ask them. They have the vitamin cocktails for everything. You got to check it out. The whole seriousness, it's unbelievable. Imagine flooding your body with the vitamins, nutrients, amino acids, and hydration you need to boost your immune system, elevate your mood, your energy level, replenish your reserves. And it's all done safely by a board-certified nurse at one of Xceva's modern infusion suites. You relax in a massage chair. You can sit there. You get flat screen, quiet. You close your eyes, whatever. It's really great. And you feel the difference. Xceva's Vitamin Therapies. Check it out for yourself. Visit Xceva, AXIVA.com. That's Xceva.com. Replenish, recharge, relief.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
11 a.m. across the Delaware Valley. We are, forgive me if at times I sound like I'm doing and banging my head against a rubber wall, padded wall, because that's how I feel right now. Numb. All right, let's check out the polls, man.
We still have the one running from yesterday, and we have one today as well. Poll of the day brought to you by Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning. Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning is open and able to assist you with any emergency service and replacement needs, including installation of air scrubbers and other air quality products. Visit MarvinEcans.com today. I was still fascinated by yesterday's poll on at 975 middays. Will Carson be on the Eagles after his contract ends in 2024? Will they extend him? The options, yes, he's the franchise quarterback. No, 2024 will be the final year. The third option, no, they will opt out after 2022. And that is still the leading vote getter. There's 2,500 votes. There's 3 hours left on the poll. 44% of the votes say no, they will opt out after the 2020 season. Almost half of the poll. Amazing. And then 36% say yes, he's the franchise quarterback. 20% say 2024 will be the final year with Carson Wentz and the Eagles. So that was yesterday's poll, because everything's doom and gloom right now. Today's, what is the worst part about the Philadelphia sports landscape at this moment? The Phillies bullpen, 46% of the vote. The Eagles 0-2 start, 39% of the vote. Uncertainty with the Sixers gets 12% of the vote. The other is the write-in option. It's just 3%, but a lot of the people responding with a similar notion, the concerns with the front offices in Philadelphia sports. Yeah. Other than the
Flyers. Well, Billy Donovan in Chicago, which takes him off the list, which we were going to touch on. We have so many things to talk about. Mm-hmm. Not any of them good, but Billy Donovan to Chicago. And I guess I understand it. It's not a bad job. Like, don't think the Sixers job is a bad job, but it is a difficult job. And it's highly pressurized. Well, you go to Chicago and they're a wasteland. They've been a wasteland. There's nowhere to go but up.
Right.
Right? Like, there's no expectations. You come here and you got to win, and you got to win right away. It's not an attractive situation in that sense.
And you got,
I mean, you
got
to be
Simmons
up,
and Embiid.
Like, you got to be up for the, well, that's a whole other,
you know,
animal.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't say the talent, Simmons and Embiid.
Right.
The other stuff that comes with Simmons and Embiid.
Well, and the whole idea of reaching them and him and all, and so it's a difficult proposition. I have one thing, and we're going to talk about this, but, and I'll ask Jaws this as well. There seems to be a, the winds, right? So if you go outside, you know the old saying, you know, follow where the wind blows.
The autumn winds?
It's the, not the autumn winds, no. Not the summer wind, no. You can learn a lot from where the wind is blowing, right? It's the winds of the masses. It's opinion that the masses seem to have. And that opinion blows like the wind. And you can follow the wind and see where the wind is blowing. And I'm not blind to this, right? I see the wind blowing in the direction of anti-Wentz. There is a Wentz blows wind. I tried to make a little pun there. Probably awkward, but whatever. But that's what the masses feel. I was listening to the morning show. Farzetta says, Mark was saying, Wentz, he's the problem, the number one problem. And I got to ask you guys, because everybody's so quick just to throw this kid under the bus. And just to move. He stinks. He's never been. I heard a guy called Devon last night. He was never any good. He was never good. So here's, and maybe, I don't know, maybe you guys will be right and he won't be good here. And maybe he won't be good anywhere. And maybe that's what he is. But I don't really care how the wind's blowing. It could be blowing square in my face. But I think that dude has talent. All I'm saying, now again, that doesn't make him realized talent. That doesn't give him a resume of talent and accomplishments. But having ability, and again, he may never reach his ability. But I don't care what anybody says. I know players, all right? I watch, my eyes don't lie. Now listen, I could be wrong, and Pete from Princeton be happy to call it out that I was wrong on Chip Kelly once in a long time. But I was, because Chip Kelly didn't know the league, and Chip Kelly was an a-hole, the whole thing. But I got a good feel about this stuff. I don't have many talents, but I have a good feel for this stuff. Been doing it long. I watch it. I'm consumed by it. Plugged in all those leagues. That kid has talent. Now, there's a multitude of reasons why he hasn't reached that. And a lot of them are his own doing. Trying too hard, pressing, wanting to do everything himself, all that stuff. That's all sins of the quarterback. But just to discard him, I think is a grave mistake. And while we're at it, I realize Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl. And I applaud Doug for that. And I know you think I'm hypercritical of Doug. And I do believe that Doug Peterson is a great leader of men. And I think he's a great guy. But I remain unimpressed with Doug as an offensive architect and a play caller. I don't think he stinks, but I don't think he's good. I think his attributes lie in the leadership of men. Like, that's how good he was as a backup quarterback for a team that needed him. for leadership and why all the Favres and Marinos and Donovans loved him and why Andy loved him and brought him in here to be a sacrificial lamb as a player. Hey, Doug, just execute the offense for four games before we turn it over to the real franchise quarterback in Donovan. So, that all said, what do we have? What do we have here? Are we quick to do what?
I mean, I'm not trying to move on from anyone right now. I mean, I don't believe that the future plans are for Jalen Hurts. I don't believe the future plans are to move on from Simmons and Embiid. I don't believe in any of that kind of stuff. You're right. I do believe that the talent is there. There's something not right, though, with this team. And I know we talked about it at length yesterday, this relationship with Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz. Is it all that great? You know, I had we have Tim McManus on every post-game show. And following the game, he said, and this was on his own. Like, Bob asked him about maybe a front office thing, right? If there's some bad relationships in the front office. Tim on his own brought up there could be a fractured relationship between Carson and Doug. And I don't think he would just throw that out there. And then one day later, we hear the weird question and answer where he goes, oh, yeah, it's a good question why he's regressed. Like, I do think there's something weird. And you don't have to like each other to work with each other. You really don't. Like, Carson and Doug, they could hate each other as long as they end up figuring out a game plan that works with one another. And Doug did say that he does speak to Carson about what he would like because the quarterback, the starting quarterback, has input. He mentioned that Nick Foles had input, which is where we saw this RPO really come to life. If Carson has input, you know, hopefully these two guys can set aside whatever differences they may have and come to some sort of working relationship. I don't know what this whole bullying nonsense is from a couple of years ago, but I don't know. I do think, Anthony, that there is something there. Like, something is not right between those two.
Yeah. Something's not right. Something is not right. All right, let's get to Ryan in Bethlehem. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ryan.
Hey, Anthony. How you doing? Love the show.
Hey, Ryan.
So, listen, I come from a different perspective with Carson. Like, look, I do not condone his play through the first two games. It's been horrible. I think he played great in the first half against Washington. And they just kind of, I think they took everybody by surprise. Nobody saw that second half coming. Nobody. Not Doug, not Carson. I don't even think the Redskins saw it coming. And they just kind of came out and kicked him in the mouth. And then this week, you know, obviously, yeah, he was off. And I think, it might take him a little while to get it back. But, I mean, the ceiling with this guy is so high. I mean, it's the highest ceiling we've had from any Philadelphia quarterback since I'd say Randall. I mean, even McNabb I don't think his ceiling was as high as Wentz's. And the fact that people are willing to give up on him after an 0-2 start, I'm dumbfounded. Like, I'm sorry, this guy goes to another team, it's gonna come back and bite Philadelphia, you know, for as long as he's in the league. I'm sorry, if another coach gets a chance with Carson, I mean, you know, watch out. I really do believe that. I think he's just so talented. And his head's a little messed up now. You know, he had a kid a couple months ago. I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that those are good excuses. Pandemic, who knows? Maybe Philadelphia, you know, maybe they didn't handle the offseason good enough with the pandemic. Maybe other teams handled it better. I don't know what the case is. But 0-2, I'm sorry. People are talking about benching him. It's ridiculous.
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous.
I feel like it is. Yeah, I mean, the guy, listen, he won the last four games last year, and if he doesn't get knocked out of that Seattle game, we probably win that game. He is one of the sole reasons why we have a Super Bowl. Without his start, I'm sorry, Nick Foles does not take us to the Super Bowl. And that's something that I've been waiting for forever as a Philadelphia fan. I'm sorry, but you got to get behind this guy a little bit. And you can't just be ready to jump ship after 0-2.
I know. I know. I hear you.
But it's Philadelphia sports, and we're so hard on
everybody. I know.
You know? It's sad. And if we lose this guy, it's going to be really, really sad.
It is. I hope that they're able to figure it out.
Me too.
I really do. I hope for all parties. I don't want to be forced to choose sides. I don't want to be forced to choose sides between. I don't.
No. And let's not even, I mean, the linebackers. Come on, Nigel Bradham's still out there. Why haven't they signed him yet?
I know.
He's a free agent, for crying out loud. Come on,
I know.
Yeah, you know, I just think that, you know, we got to live and die with Carson this season. And if fans aren't willing to get back behind somebody like that, then we're never going to have anything good for a long period of time in Philly.
Yeah, I know. I think it saddens me because I don't want to be in this position where, you know, we're forced to choose and blame. And it's like every day. You know, it's two losses, and listen, it's bad. I'm not saying it's not bad, but it's not fun. It loses its fun when we're in this spot.
Yeah. You know, you look at a franchise like Pittsburgh, you know, I mean, look at Bill Cowher. He didn't win a Super Bowl there for how long? Did they give up on him? No, they stuck behind him. I mean, it was like 15 years or something like that before he finally won a Super Bowl. I don't know what it was, but it was a long time.
I know.
Yeah, and unfortunately.
I hear you, brother. I think the kid's got ability. I do. And again, I think Doug is a brilliant leader of men and coach. So I think he's easily can help fix it. Just think he needs other people to help him, right? I mean, I don't know. Maybe them to be able to hit on one of these receivers.
And it's easy to play Monday morning quarterback, but at the same token, taking Jalen Hurts in the second round, I don't know what the heck they were thinking.
Come on.
Linebacker, right there at that pick.
I know, Ry. I know. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate having you there, man.
Good to talk.
You too. Tasty Cake, Dom, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic Tasty Cake.
Well, that last call, man, I mean, where's he living? He's bragging about Pittsburgh fans? Is he out of his mind?
Nobody's watching
the games lately.
No, but
it's one knock. It's one punch after the other.
Dom, but he wasn't. It wasn't a shot at the fans as much as we were talking about the wind blowing and people already ready to discard Wentz.
I don't think it's the people. I think it's the administration wants to go. I mean, that's a disgrace that the head coach has to think about why he's regressing. His franchise quarterback, he threw Carson right under the bus.
Yes.
Ridiculous.
Yes.
It was ridiculous that he did that. Now, Ant, I got to call for one reason. Correctly and accurately, you questioned Joel Embiid. You questioned Carson Wentz. You questioned Ben Simmons. I want to question Aaron Nola because he's soft. This is the third year in a row that we were kind of in a pennant race. And he's supposed to grab the ball yesterday. He's supposedly the ace. He's supposedly the stopper. He's supposed to tell Joe, I'm going seven today. Save the orange for the second game. I'm going seven. And he's soft. Soft as a pillow. Aaron Nola.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. And that's your guy. And I will tell
my
people
guy,
that Tasty Gate Dom loves Aaron Nola.
It's third year in a row, Ant.
Yes.
Down the stretch when we need him to be the ace.
Yes.
He gets lit up. It's Christmas Day. The lights are flashing the way they bat around on him. And he didn't get help from the field. I mean, yeah, he's supposed to go seven in that game. And, you know, the key component about being an ace is you're the stopper.
Yes.
Right? When the team's floundering, you grab the ball. Steve Carlton.
Yes.
You know, you grab the ball. And you're brilliant when a team's on a losing streak.
Yes.
That's an ace.
Yes.
And that ain't Aaron Nola. It's not. I'm sorry.
Yes.
So I love you. I'm sorry. But, you know, it's just a tidal wave of goo. Everything you said was brilliant this morning. It's a tidal wave of goo.
I know.
The Chelsea Falcons You know that Danny Ainge is going to hold that trophy up, right, Ant? That's coming. Gabe Kapler is going to go on a playoff run, and Danny Ainge is going to hold the – that's going to be
– Oh, it's so bad I'm rooting for the Lakers.
The Heat got to win tonight.
Yeah, well, I'm rooting for the Heat, and you know, I'm rooting for the Lakers in that I think they have the best chance to win it.
I'm just saying, the way this year is going with everything, the Celtics are going to win the championship.
Yeah,
That'll be that for me.
Yeah.
That should be the worst case scenario. Sorry for such a negative call, Ant. Love you, Andrew. Love you, Ant. Sorry for the negativity.
No, I mean, Dommy, I hear you. What is there to be positive about it? It's one thing after another, right? One thing after another. We talk about piling in the land, piling stuff on the landfill. It's hard. Right now, it's hard to listen. We have had a really, really difficult 2020. Tough 2020, right? Really difficult 2020. And then the sports comes back, and we can't wait for sports and volley comes back. And then what? It's worse, right? All of our hopes and dreams and ways to be distracted by the pandemic, it gets worse. All right, 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. It's how you reach us. It's Cuz Radio with the Tunis, 97.5 The Fanatic. All right, I have a timely and specific message about a local company that is hiring right now for installers and service techs. Dreyfus Fireplace is seeking skilled, reliable tradesmen to install and service prefab fireplaces at both residential and commercial sites. Visit DreyfusFireplaces.com or call 215-924-3500. Was your position eliminated in the wake of the COVID crisis? Are you out of work but ready to get back on the field with the right team? Dreyfus Fireplaces, located in the great city of Philadelphia, might be the perfect employer for you. Let's keep it simple. They have immediate positions available. They offer competitive pay. They aren't going anywhere. They've been around for 145 years. Visit DreyfusFireplaces.com. That's DREIFUSS. The number again, 215-924-3500. Dreyfus, bringing the heat with quality and service since 1876.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 11:30 across the Delaware Valley, and our 11 o'clock hour is brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. Judas, I ask you, because we're at a loss. You feel the wind blowing against Wentz, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a totally different tone. I mean, you know, I did post-game last year, right? And every time the Eagles lost, there was a lot of Carson Wentz heat. But that was, like, immediate after a game. And that happens, right? People get angry. If he makes a bad throw immediately after a game, people get bummed out. But I'm hearing it now, like, continue into the week, right? Like, I see yesterday was Tuesday, and I'm seeing, like, just Carson Wentz angry tweets. Like, the Phillies were playing, and the Phillies were a disaster, and I'm seeing tweets about Carson Wentz still. I'm seeing people looking for the most damning stat that they can find about Carson Wentz. So you're right. I do think the winds are starting to change a little bit.
And see, this is, therein lies the issue. Is what's the future hold? Are you looking to move on? I just can't in good conscience do that. I mean, I got to figure out a way to work through it. I got to get those two, got to get on the same page. I don't know. You know, was the Super Bowl too much for him and the pressure of winning? But we got to have the Pope of football on the line with us. And I'm dying to talk to him because he can really bring, I think, great perspective to this conversation on the Comcast Business Hotline, the great Ron Jaworski. Jaws, good morning.
Good morning, Anthony. Been a rough week, but we got to turn the page.
Yeah, let me ask you a question because, you know, obviously, you know how we are. You live through it as a player. You live through it as a lifelong Philadelphia, you know, resident and Pope of Patterson Avenue, the whole thing. 0-2 is disaster, right? You know, that's always how we view things because this stuff matters. But let's talk about Carson. Do you see talent in Carson Wentz?
Absolutely. You know, the guy has performed at a very high level throughout his career. And to me, you know, it's just a challenge right now that he has to work through. You know, I went through that tape three times already, Anthony. Monday and twice yesterday. You know, I'm just looking for something, you know. And you know, he certainly has regressed in a couple areas. I mean, his mechanics have gone south. Overstriding, understriding, throwing balls in the dirt, overthrowing. There's not one specific thing that I can really point to. I watched his mechanics of his arm slot, his passing slot. I've watched his feet. And he's very inconsistent right now. And to me, and I've been in those situations, every quarterback that has played mm-hmm. in this game, you go through patches in your career where you're just not in sync. And there's only one thing you can do, work your tail off. And this has got to be a really big week for Carson and the coaching staff and Press Taylor, if he's the one that is working on his mechanics day in and day out and drill in and drill out. Because you got to become repetitive in your mechanics. And that leads to the consistent accuracy and repetitive accuracy. And right now, Carson is not there.
Well, all right, let's figure out why, right? So the first half or the first, you know, quarter and a half against Washington, I don't know, he came out, he looked fantastic, right? He was very accurate in the whole thing.
Yep.
What happened from then on?
Well, you know, he made a terrible throw with a minute and 44 seconds to go in the first half with a 17-0 lead. You know, as a quarterback, you've got to be totally aware of every situation. You know, you're cruising at 17-0. You want to give Washington zero at halftime and zero to go in that locker room and say, okay, we got it going. He made a huge mistake in throwing the interception on the O cut. Should have been low and outside. It was high and inside, picked off. All of a sudden, you gave Washington energy. And, you know, then he came out in the second half and it was just holding out of the football. And it was, you know, it was surprising to me because Carson normally gets through his progressions pretty good. He's strong in the pre-snap phase. And, you know, there's been a good chemistry with him and Doug and calling the plays. And, you know, although it was a horrible throw at the end of the first half, I did not think it would impact him in the second half as a guy now in his fifth year. You know, you got to just move on. You're going to make mistakes. This is the NFL. You're going to be embarrassed and humiliated at times by NFL defenses. But, you know, one of the great attributes you must have as a quarterback is amnesia. You got to forget. You got to move on. Play the next play. That's all you control. And it seemed to impact him. It really did. He didn't. He was, you know, the mechanics began to break down that second half against Washington, and he held on the football. And almost the same thing happened against the Rams. You know, I mean, the Rams are a good team, a better football team than Washington, but he never found his rhythm in that game.
Yeah, and can you figure out why? Now, I'll ask: does he have sufficient is protection? I mean, I don't want to make it an alibi or any of the alibi because it's his mechanics is the fact that you have. It appears one receiver that you can really trust, right, in Deshaun. Forget the tight ends. We'll talk about the outside receivers.
All right. Well, first of all, you start out with this. The offensive line, I thought, a terrific game.
Right.
They were terrific. You know, unfortunately, when we lose, we overlook the guys that played well. You know, and the offensive line, you know, had a terrific game. I can't say the same about the Washington game, but they did in this game. And Aaron Donald, one of the premier pass rushers in this league, was non-existent. I think he had a tackle in the game if he had that. So the O-line did a great job. So I can't say it was pass rush pressure. I can't say it was anything that the Rams did defensively. They're a good team. The Rams are a good team. They're going to make a run this year. Barring any unforeseen injuries, but they're a good team. They got a good secondary. But that still is inexcusable that the Eagles could not move the ball better than they did. You know, there was a better running game. There were receivers open. He missed some receivers. You know, you got to get more out of Arcega White. You've got to. There's no burst to his game, or you got to put him on the bench. He's just been unproductive. Deshaun was invisible the first half. If I'm calling plays, I'm getting Deshaun in this game.
I don't understand. I didn't get, because Doug said, well, we made a conscious effort at halftime to give him the ball, and that was the only connection that worked. Like, he makes the thing that I scratch my head at is that he makes that one of the toughest throws for any quarterback from the opposite hash, that out to Deshaun. He made three times on Sunday.
Yeah, it was a beautiful play call off play action. You get the linebacker sucked up, the safety's in the middle of the field. You got 1-1 with half field to work with, you know. That's pitch and catch, man. That's practice. And, of course, they executed it perfectly. They had the running game going. You know, Doug did not have a good play calling game. You didn't get the ball to Deshaun. You know, the deep ball was non-existent. I mean, what did we hear this whole offseason? That's all we want is speed. Everything we do is speed, speed, speed. Well, then throw one ball deep down the field. I'm coming out and I'm saying, okay, I'm going to test these guys. You got all these burners, you know, you got Rager, and you got all these guys in Hightower, these fast guys, Deshaun, and you're throwing dink and dunk passes and bubble screens. Well, you know, it's kind of the opposite of what you said you're going to be, why you drafted all these guys. And then, hey, by the way, if you want to see some speed this weekend, you're going to see some. They're on the Bengals.
That's right.
You know, you're looking at a John Ross. The guy runs a 4.22 40. You know, coming out, and you're going to see some go routes from Joe Burrow. So this secondary better have their cover shoes on deep down the field, because you know the Bengals are not going to come in here and lay down. But I don't want to get off on a tangent. But they do have speed. The Eagles have speed, but you got to use it. You know, these Hank routes and these stop routes at 5 yards and these bubble screens. You know, hey, I could find a bunch of guys on the street to run those plays. But now you drafted guys for speed, and you're not even using them.
Yeah, and that's the thing that, yeah, I don't know. I mean, are those kids ready yet? I mean, what do you see from the routes that are being run?
No, they're not ready. I mean, they played two games in the NFL in the 2020 pandemic era.
Right.
With no offseason,
right.
No training camp, no preseason games. I mean, okay, week one, you go to Washington, it's your first NFL experience. Hell no, they're not ready. You know, the timing is off. That's why I'm stressing to you, as I did a moment ago, Anthony. Who's the guy Carson has a good feel with? Deshaun. We'll target him. Who the guy is that, you know, he has Zach Ertz. Zach has disappeared. You know, of course, he overthrew Goddard a few times as well, and Goddard wide open on a little corner route up the field. He didn't see him. And he started to get a little bit of a tunnel vision. So you got to be really careful. But, you know, to me, you go to practice and you just work your butt off. You work your butt off. You better turn the noise out, because this is Philadelphia. You're going to hear the noise. Go to practice every day and bust your butt and get that confidence level back between you and your wide receiving corps. If you have to stay after practice for an hour and throw balls to get timing down, you stay for an hour. I'm not saying he's not doing that, because I'm not there.
Right.
But this is what you have to do. When you're in a slump, and he's in a slump right now, you know, he's like the Phillies. You know, and you know, you got to work through these things. Just, you know, this will define Carson Wentz, because it's the first time in where I can actually say he's had two down back-to-back games. Bad games by the quarterback. Winnable games. They should be 2-0 right now. They're 0-2. And it lies at Carson's feet, because he made mistakes that hurt his football team. He's thrown 4 interceptions. The Eagles have 0 interceptions, only 1 turnover, -5 in the takeaway category through 2 games. The Eagles will have an awful season unless they improve upon that. So clearly, you know, we're going to find out what's in Carson's belly this week. We're actually going to find out what's in his team's belly this week, because obviously Jim Schwartz took a bullet for the team yesterday. Took a bullet. Went up there and was a real man and said, I'll take it. But you know what that means?
He was fantastic.
He took a bullet. So you know what he's saying right now, guys? I took a bullet for you. Let's see what you do against Cincinnati. I took it for you this week. I'm not doing it anymore. You better play up to your ability. By the way, the defense is not playing good, but so I'll make that clear as well.
Yeah, I guess, and we're talking to Jaws on the Comcast Business Hotline. I guess I wonder, how do you gain confidence back when you got you, by your own admission and my own admission, and we look at this thing and that all but one of your receivers, wide receivers, not the tight ends, but all one of your are green and not ready to play in the league yet.
Well, we're going to find out. We're going to find out if these guys can grow up, you know. But I will say this as well. When you get in these situations, this is when you count on your defense. You know, and they got back to the running game. The Eagles offense did, which I was happy to see because the equilibrium wasn't there in Washington. You need to get back to it. And they ran the ball well. I thought, you know, for the most part, it was fine in that regard. But, you know, when you got the offense struggling, there's always a sense that the defense feels it. And the defense has to make plays. Zero turnovers from the defense through two games. Zero. And guys are running wide open, mistakes, mistake after mistake in coverage, losing your coverage, looking in the backfield, falling behind. I mean, it was a bad performance by this defense. Like I said, Schwartz, he took the bullet, but it's up to these guys to come back Sunday against Cincinnati and show who they really are. Hey, maybe this is who they are. We're going to find out. Maybe this is who they are. That means we're looking at a long season.
I mean, that's what I think scares everybody. Do you think
I agree with you, Anthony. I'm not sitting here and saying, hey, they're going to blow out Cincinnati. It's
right.
The Bengals. It's, you know, the team. They always stink, you know. No, this is a talented Bengals team that has enough weapons to move the ball. I mean, they can really move this. When you look at guys like Joe Mixon out of the backfield and Bernard Giovanni, these guys are excellent receivers. And, you know, and we all watched the Eagles linebackers on Sunday. They weren't covering many people, you know. So they got these two really good backs on the backfield that are great in-space receivers and runners. You know, I'm putting big stars by those guys. I better worry about them.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you start worrying about those guys, and you got, you know, guys that fly, like I already mentioned, John Ross, or also T. Higgins, a kid from Clemson who's a very solid receiver. Young, but good solid receiver. And Tyler Boyd can run. A.J. Green is a little banged up. He's not the same guy, but, you know, he's a world-class receiver. So, you know, you can't take this Bengal team lightly, and the Eagles better not. Or at least if you're 0-3 on Sunday night.
Yeah. I'm with you. I got two things for you. One, do you think he's pressing and that adds to the mechanical issues with his mechanics? That it appears that the one thing you know about him is that it's like he can't turn it off, like trying too hard. And, you know, he held on to the ball and cost him a field goal. He makes that throw that gets picked in the end zone on first down. Is that all a product of pressing, and the pressure to try to do something?
Yeah, I believe that has something to do with it, you know. But Carson's, you know, in his fifth year, he's got to work through it. I mean, he really does. And you know, I've been in those situations. I can speak from my heart. You know, you know it in your belly when you're struggling, when the ball's not going where it's going to go. And I've always said this, and Anthony, I've said this to you many times, you know. You know, if you're playing 16 games a year, and it's just my personal feeling, there are going to be a couple games where I just didn't have it. You know, I didn't have the fastball. I didn't have the pinpoint accuracy. And sometimes you got to play through that. You got to say, hey, coach, man, you know, and even in pregame warm-up, you kind of sense the ball is not going where you want it to go for whatever reason. And it's kind of the game where you got to say, all right, give me the high percentage passes. You know, get the running game going because I don't have the A game today. Now, sometimes you start out that way and you work into it, but there are definitely a couple days where you depend on your defense to win it for you, or you depend on your running game to carry the offense. So I think that's where the Eagles are right now. They need, number one, the defense, and particularly the defensive line, to step up and play like they're being paid the number one defensive line in football. And number two, the quarterback has got to work through the challenges that he's going to face.
The other thing I'd ask you about is, where do you think Peterson and Wentz are when it comes to the same page? Like, Doug was asked in the news conference whether or not his quarterback was, quote, regressing. And he entertained the question. Hey, that's a good question, he said. And I'll be honest with you, I've been around the game a long time. I never saw a head coach who would ever even entertain that question.
You know I love Carson. You know I love Doug. You know, I mean, that this is personal. This is, you're asking me football questions, and I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
He's regressing. He's regressing. That's simple. I mean, I'm not going to be an idiot and say he's playing great. He's regressing. He's missing guys open. He's holding on to the ball. The mechanics aren't sharp. He needs an epiphany, man. He better find it quick.
Is Doug the guy? Does he need someone else
to help out? I don't know the structure, again, if I'm there, I could give you a more definitive answer.
Yeah, I know. I hear you.
We know the meeting room. We heard it so many times, and obviously everything's in harmony when you're winning and winning Super Bowls in the meeting room with Frank Reich, and everything was great. But again, I'm not there with Press Taylor and Marty Morningwig other coaches they have right now. And by the way, sometimes, you know, you get too many guys around a quarterback. You know, who has Carson's ear? Who's with him? Is it Doug with him on the practice field? You know, is it Press? Is it Deuce? I don't know because I'm not there. I can only give you a hypothetical. But clearly, there's some disconnect right now.
Yeah. Hey, tell me about tonight because you're going to be talking about it. I love the Ron Jaworski show. Tonight at 6:00.
I got Barrett Brooks tonight, and you know, it's the perfect time to talk offensive line.
Yes.
You know, with a transition of the Eagles' offensive line. I always love having Barrett because he works his butt off. He studies the tape. He's kind of a wonk like I am for the tape. And with Barrett, you get down in the trenches. You know, I focus on the glamour boys, the quarterbacks, the running backs, and every once in a while, you got to
you're a glamour man.
Down and dirty.
You're glad.
You got to get down and Barrett's just awesome. So hey, I get fired up when we get Barrett on the show, just like Baldy. You know, Baldy's the tape wonk, you know, and he gets everybody going, tape study. So tonight's going to be a little X's and O's show, but I love Barrett because he is straightforward, honest.
That sounds great. Where are you going to be? Where are you going to be at?
Yeah, we're actually going to be at the Burns Honda studio, you know, in their showroom tonight. So it's going to be great.
Very cool.
Yeah,
man.
So we'll have some fun. Maybe I'll have to sell some cars too.
Hey, you do it all, Jaws.
I'm the jack of all trades.
That's it, brother. Listen, have a great show, man. We love you, buddy.
You got it. Thank you, Anthony. Always a pleasure being with you.
There he is, the great Ron Jaworski on the Comcast Business Hotline. So Jaws sees lots of mechanical issues. And it's funny because we all saw like inaccuracy and stuff. And then you see in the same breath, Jaws also brings up the receivers not being ready. How much is all that together? It's a one big equation, no?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot to it. Like the wide receivers not being ready is a part. Like John, that interception in week one, the second interception, John Hightower not running the correct route or running the route well enough is a part of the problem. But yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about mechanical issues, I saw one of Baldy's breakdowns yesterday on Twitter. And this is actually a play that I really pointed out during the postgame show was the wide receiver screen to DeSean Jackson where DeSean dropped it. Like, DeSean should have caught the ball, right? You remember that play? But Carson threw it behind him.
Yeah.
And Baldy's pointing out his footwork. After week one, I believe Carson must be seeing ghosts right now because he got sacked 8 times in week one. And all we heard about was how Aaron Donald's going to sack Carson Wentz like 6 times. He was backing. There was no defensive lineman near him. He was falling backward on a wide receiver screen. And at the second he released it, he jumped out of the way as if there was somebody at his feet. And I don't know if it's a seeing ghost thing. I don't know if it's a mechanical thing. His body was open up. He went cross body with his feet out wide on a wide receiver screen instead of stepping into the throw. And then he jumped thinking that there was somebody by his feet and there was nobody there. And that kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Right.
That he may be seeing ghosts after week one.
Well, the one where the footwork was obvious was where his legs were wide open, spread wide open on the throw, on the interception. That was another one where he looked like, and this is an old reference, but Gary Maddox's batting stance. You know. So there is certainly evidence about his mechanics. But what is that? What is it? And then there are times when he'll make the nice throw
right
to DeSean, which is a really difficult throw. It's like, is there confidence? It's like when he lacks confidence, his mechanics go to pot.
Yeah, but that Deshaun throw was when they were starting to come back. You know what I mean? Like, that's when you should be feeling pretty good. You just scored two touchdowns.
I know.
I'm pretty sure that was before the Arcega-Whiteside interception, right?
So, it was, yeah.
So you're feeling pretty good at that point. But maybe, I don't know, maybe you've seen ghosts. He got sacked 8 times in week one.
Yeah.
And that's not good 2 weeks into the season.
Yeah.
For a guy who's dealt with it, right? He's dealt with injuries in his career.
It's tough, man. It really is. All right, we'll come back and visit with our friends. Time now to tell you about Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. I tell you about Golden Nugget Jewelers all the time. Right on the corner of 8th and Chestnut. Go see your own. If this is the time where you met that perfect somebody, and you're maybe thinking about a nice autumnal engagement, right? The autumn leaves, and you're going to do a nature engagement. Or maybe it's for the holidays that you're looking for the beautiful diamond ring to propose. Or maybe just have birthdays or some sort of occasion, an anniversary, or a present for the holidays. You got to go to Golden Nugget Jewelers. You'll get the perfect diamond. Don't worry about it. The experts at Golden Nugget Jewelers, always there to help you find the perfect match, your perfect match. And it's a great spot. They're open now. They have major financing options available, unbeatable prices for brand names like Verraggio and Tacori. You can find the perfect diamond without breaking the bank. It's time to show your partner how much you love them. After all, they've been stuck quarantining with you, right? Visit their store at the corner of 8th and Chestnut, or call them at 215-925-2777. Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It is 12 o'clock across the Delaware Valley. Amazing stuff going on. I'll tell you, it just gets worse and worse and worse. Phillies blow 2 games yesterday. They're now out of the playoffs, where almost everybody makes the playoffs. It's unreal. But things could always be worse. We could be Tyrod Taylor. Poor Tyrod Taylor. This is awful. The Chargers team doctor accidentally punctured his own lung. He punctured Tyrod Taylor's lung just before kickoff Sunday while trying to administer a painkilling injection to the quarterback's cracked ribs. Oh, my God. That's awful. Can you imagine, Andrew?
Was that doctor fired, like, today? Seriously, is that doctor fired today? Like, that can't happen, man.
Yeah, I mean, are you kidding me? Fired. I mean, yeah.
Lawsuit.
Awful. 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 I feel bad for the kids. I feel bad for the kids. All the young sports, it'll get better. I promise. Like my boy Santo, who's going to school right now with his unk, man, with his pop-up. I mean, I feel bad. I feel bad for the kids. Mine, your unborn children, Andrew. You know, my man, you know, listen, Santo, pop-up Tommy, it'll be good.
Yeah, you never know.
It'll be all right.
I saw success when I was 11 years old, when the Eagles got to the Super Bowl. Saw success when I was 8. It happens. It's been a while. Well, no, 2017 wasn't that long ago.
I just am shocked. I'm shocked that where we're at right now. That's the thing that's so disheartening. Look, I know it's two games in, so I don't know. You know, there's hope, I guess. But even if this year's not a good year, where did it all go? And the thing that I'm scared about is that are any of these things easily fixed? Right, Andrew?
I don't know if they're easily fixed. I mean, especially with the histories of these teams. That's the thing. Like, you go, oh, well, okay. So the Phillies' bats are obviously pretty good. They have two pretty good pitchers at the top of the rotation. Are they legit aces? No. But are they pretty good pitchers at the top of the rotation? Yeah. So all they have to do is fix the bullpen, right? Well, the bullpen's never really been good, right? I mean, let's think about the Phillies' history. They were good in 2008 when you had Madsen and the bridge to Lidge. And then what happened in 2009? Bradley was pretty bad.
Right. Except here's the thing. That was a sustained run. That was a real, honest-to-goodness run. That was built correctly. I don't care what anybody says. I liked what Ruben did with the aces.
Yeah, I did too.
I mean, who's expecting? I mean, they have four incredible pitchers.
Yeah, that's the thing. They had to make the trades for the four incredible pitchers because, God forbid, we get somebody, you know, that we scout that's homegrown. We can't, you know, we can't do that.
Well, one of those pitchers is homegrown in Hamels. But to your point, and you're right, and this goes back to Sanchez, and this goes back to why Klentak has killed this franchise. Like, and his argument is absurd. It's an absurd argument. How in the world could you sit back and just say, yeah, well, you know, we got 2 years out of JT. Yeah, I know Sixto was good this year, or good against us. Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
you want to talk about insulting? All right. Oh, it's time now for our football pool. That's right. We love the Fanatic football pool. It's something we look forward to every day. In fact, it's something we look forward to four times a day, 8 a.m., noon right now, 4 p.m. with Mike, 8 p.m. with Devon, be the fifth caller. You're going to win $100 from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Then we're going to ask you a simple football question. You get it right, we're going to put you in the grand prize drawing to win the Fanatic football pool and everything inside. All the goodies. Yeah, $1,000 cash. Full supply of her snacks, fire pit, and a snowblower, all these great items. That's right. So right now, give us a call, 215. I'm looking at the question. 215-263-0975. 215-263-0975. You're the fifth caller. You're going to win $100. Thanks to Parks Casino and Sportsbook, Pennsylvania's number one casino. Got to be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
By the way, we got a Snippy Doug again today.
Oh, really?
We got more Snippy Doug. So we had Jaws on. I had the Jaws was in my right ear, and Doug was in my left ear. And not much from the Doug Peterson press conference. It looks like Nate Herbig may play left guard because of Sayamalo's injury. So Matt Pryor, who was, again, lauded as, you know, the greatest guard and tackle in NFL history during training camp but couldn't play week one, he looks like he'll be playing right guard. They'll also have Sua Opeto ready to go just in case. You know, that gives you a lot of confidence. But today he backed up Carson instead of saying, yeah, it's a great question why he's regressed. But he got snippy again.
What happened? Let me hear.
This was with Jimmy Kemsky.
Right.
And he dropped something that I liked to point out yesterday, well, did you ever do this? So here's Douglas.
Hey, Doug. Carson had great protection all day. He wasn't sacked. I think he only got knocked down once. And I know you were asked Monday why he's missing throws, and it's an assortment of reasons. But some of the throws that he's missing are sort of like layups. What could be the reason for some of those easier misses that he's missing?
Have you played quarterback in the National Football League?
I have not, Doug.
Okay. They're not layups. There ain't a throw out here that's a layup. So some of it is just timing with young guys. Some of it is just, you know, you know, Carson just being, you know, not accurate at that particular time. It could be that there's a defensive guy that flashed a hand where he's, you know, got to change his arm angle at the split second. There's all kinds of reasons for accuracy, and these are things that we continue to work on and will continue to work on, you know, the entire season.
Oh man,
I love it. Did you play football?
Here's the problem: is that Jimmy Kempke can come back to him and go, "Well, I know you wore a helmet, but I didn't see you make many throws."
Right.
I mean, that's a bad look. It's a bad look. You don't say that. Now, I applaud him for trying to have Carson's back.
Unlike
and maybe
Monday.
He heard all the things. I don't believe there was anything like orchestrated against the quarterback. I just believe that Doug was not clumsy, but awkward while he was giving his response on Monday. Like unorthodox. I don't think it like dawned on him, but him talking about that question and using the word regressed and comparing it to other coaches, I don't think that was an orchestrated response.
You know, it's a good question.
Is it, Doug? Is it a good question, Doug?
Yeah, well, you know. What are you gonna do?
Jaws was critical today of Carson.
Yeah.
Saying he has regressed.
Yeah. Well, Carson could, I mean, Jaws can say it. And the coach should not really say that, but whatever.
Yes, you're right.
I just think he was being a little bit clumsy about it. Let's go to Greg. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Greg. Gregory. Greg's not there. How about Robert? You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Robert.
Anthony, how's it going today?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
It was totally worth waiting the hour.
I'm sorry. It's so busy now and running through stuff.
I'm apologizing. This is great radio. I wish the team adopted the passion their fan base had.
Yes. You know? Yes.
You don't see. But I wanted to talk about Carson, and I just wanted to mention something called buyer beware. And I'm an outsider looking in. I'm a lifelong Chiefs fan, even though I'm in Jersey. But why doesn't anyone question why the Eagles drafted a Division II quarterback over all these Division I quarterbacks? I think Carson has a great arm, but his mind has not been developed yet, and there's got to be something that prevented him from going to Division I.
Yeah, I don't look at that because there's plenty of great, great players that come from small schools and Division II schools. I don't think that's an issue. I think you look at him, I think he's clearly got talent. I don't think where he went to school matters.
Oh, his arm is a cannon. But
yeah, I don't think he's a dumb guy either. So again, I think there are, you know, I think he's pressing. I think there's the receiver.
Yeah, pressing is a great word. You know, he is pressing. And
he could have pressed if he went to Alabama or he went to North Dakota State.
No, he would have seen far better talent, something closer to what he'd see in the NFL.
Yeah, I disagree with your original premise, though, Robert. Honestly, I'm sorry. I don't think it matters where you go to school.
Well, it doesn't, but look at how many Division I quarterbacks are doing well. Even Tom Brady, the last guy picked in the draft, was Division I. He did really good. He had much better coaching.
Yeah, Brady's been in the league for 20 years. There's plenty of quarterbacks that come from smaller schools.
He was Division I, too, wasn't he?
Smaller Division I, at least the program wasn't that. They weren't winning national championships.
No, but competitive in their division.
Conference. I disagree with your premise, buddy. I'm sorry. You hold down for a while, so I feel for you, and I apologize, but I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters at all. And here's the other issue. We're 5 years removed. He's in the league 5 years now. What in the world? Come on, man. I mean, we're talking about where he went to school. I mean, you know. I love Patrick Mahomes. He wasn't winning national championships. All right? Let's be real here. Mark in Miami, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mark.
Hey, Anthony.
Hi, Mark.
It's a funny thing. I don't think there's ever been a quarterback in Philadelphia, maybe two, that haven't been through this and booed. Even Ron Jaworski. I mean, I remember Ron Jaworski. I told you this before. I wish you'd asked him this question. He was getting the snot kicked out of him. He threw 20-some interceptions. And you know what Dick Vermeil said to him? He said, Ron, I'll never jerk you. I think I told you this before. He said, Ron, I'll never jerk you. I'll never forget it because it was on in those days on Sundays. Mm-hmm. You had the NFL films. And it was and they happened to catch this shot of him coming off the field after either an interception or he got sacked again. And this is what his coach said to him. I'll never jerk you. You don't think that had an effect on Ron Jaworski when he was struggling?
Yeah, and maybe Doug said that to Carson. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I haven't heard it like that. In fact, 3 days later, he defends him now, kind of like left-handedly.
Yeah, I think it's
I have nothing to, I don't think it's a personal thing. I don't think it's intentional.
I just think Doug is not a, he's not smooth, right? Yeah. He's not smooth. He's not, good. I think he's trying, but he doesn't, I think he's at his best when he's as honest as possible.
And I'll tell you another thing. There was a quarterback in Philadelphia who they traded away, a Hall of Fame quarterback, for a statue. And I think they've regretted it ever since.
Who's that?
Sonny Jurgensen.
I mean,
they traded him away. In those days, he threw for 3,000 yards. They traded him for Norm Snead.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm just saying, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that to Carson, who I feel will work through this.
Yeah, man.
He struggled last year for a little bit.
I'm worried about it, too. I don't want this to be a situation where all of a sudden now he can't succeed here, where now it's a bad way.
And I will say, and I love Ron Jaworski, but he had his moments where he struggled.
Yeah.
But the coach never threw him under the bus, ever.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had 1 year he had 53 sacks, another year 40-some sacks. He's thrown 20-plus interceptions.
Yeah.
He had his bad days, but he overcame it.
Yes. No, you're right. You're right.
And one more thing about the Phillies. Let's be honest. What is it, 13 blows saves? No matter, when you're talking about 2008 through 2011, think about that. Extrapolate that to 162 games. You're talking about 40-plus blown saves. It's just, it can't happen. And that's all Klintak, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Mark, think about it. What a joke. They're playing, they're game number 56, right? They have four games left.
Right.
And they have already blown. I mean, they have already given up more than four runs in one inning 20 times.
I mean, and I don't care what you say. If you even have an average bullpen.
Yeah,
they win half those games, and we're not talking about that.
Of course, it's mind-boggling, Mark. Hang in there, my brother. You're a good man. Rough times. Let's get a smile. Let's play the Fanatic football pool. And I want to give somebody $100.
This is the Fanatic football pool.
All right. Our fifth caller is Dory. Welcome, Dory. Congratulations. Hi. How are you?
Good. And you?
I've been better. What I'm saying, Dor? Rough times.
Nervous.
Are you? Don't be nervous. Yeah. It's like you're talking to your friend, your neighbor.
Okay.
Now tell me about yourself a little bit.
I'm a mailman.
Terrific. What's your biggest sport? What's your favorite team?
Baseball.
Oh, poor Dory. I know. Are you upset over the bullpen?
How can you not be?
I hear you. All right, but I need you to put your football cap on, okay?
Okay.
And reach into your mailbag, and here you go, Dory, because I want to. You've won $100 from Parks Casino and Sportsbook, and I want to qualify you for the grand prize of the football pool.
Okay, I want to be qualified.
All right, here's the question. Okay. What is the width of the goalposts in the NFL?
The width of the goalpost?
You're right. Listen, it's multiple choice. Is it A, 18 feet 6 inches? Is it B, 12 feet? Is it C, 22 feet 6 inches?
22.
So is it A, 18 feet 6 inches? B, 12 feet, C, 22 feet, 6 inches.
Trying to think. I can think how wide the field is, but I don't know how wide the goalpost is.
All right, use your best.
I have to just guess.
All right. Come on, Dory.
I'm going to guess. Well, can you tell me them one more time?
Sure. 18 feet, 6 inches.
18, 6, go ahead.
12 feet, 22 feet, 6 inches.
18?
18? Yes, you're correct.
I qualified.
You did.
Thank you so much for making
it. Welcome to Philadelphia.
Oh, Dory, hang in there, sweetheart. There you go. Dory's qualified. That's right. Don't forget the Fanatic Football Pool. She's qualified to win it all. She's in the running for the $1,000 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook, the year's supply of snacks from Her Snack Food, the Tony Hawk Pro Skater, the Talking Teddy Bear, the Fire Pit from Landis Block and Concrete, the Godfather Trivia Game, I know Mike's breaking out today, General Knowledge, the Snowblower from Paul B. Moyer and Sons, and she's qualified. What'd you think of that, Andrew?
I was nervous.
Dory was sharp.
I was nervous, but she pulled through.
She did. And she was sharp, right?
Yes. Big fan of Dory.
Yes. We'll come back. Don't forget, you can check it out. 8 a.m., noon, 4 p.m., 8 p.m. Four times a day, we're qualifying people, and we want you to be qualified. We'll talk to Jeff McClain. He was at that news conference, that Zoom conference, coming up next. State of the Birds, and then it's the state of us. Hey, week two of the NFL is in the books. There's no better place to get in all of the week three action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. To add to the excitement of week three, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new users the chance to turn $1 into $100 when they bet on any team. That's right. You can place a bet of a dollar on any team. That team wins, you cash a cool Benny. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code FANATIC when you sign up. You get this can't-miss offer. Pick any team during Week 3. Bet a buck on them. Win $100. If they win, that's $1 to win $100 when you use promo code FANATIC during sign-up for limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only in partnership with the Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Have you played quarterback in the National Football League?
Yeah. Man, it was on that Zoom news conference by Doug. Jeff McClain does a great job. Inquirer, inquirer.com. You got to read them. You got to follow them on Twitter. Jeff, good afternoon.
Hey, Anthony.
What the hell is going on down there?
I don't know. We're not allowed down.
Right. That's true. I mean, that's ridiculous. First of all, that answer, by the way, if Jimmy Kemsky wasn't a gentleman, he could easily say, well, I don't know, Doug, did you play?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, give me a break. Why are we now in the namby-pamby, all defensive when on Monday you thought, hey, regression's a good question?
Yeah. I mean, Doug has kind of pulled that before, that card. I think one time he said, I'd love to have you guys, bring you guys down from the press box and place you on the sidelines and put on the headphones and make the decisions I have to make. And, he said that last year. It was last year or 2 years ago. And, obviously I never played in the NFL. In fact, I didn't play much of football. But what I always say to people who go in that direction is, I don't have to be president to cover the White House either. When you're a journalist, certainly you want to be informed, and I feel like I've gone about informing myself on the game of football as much as I possibly can, but a lot of it's just asking questions, getting information, and asking the right questions, and I think a fair question that Jimmy asked. I mean, this goes back really honestly to the mechanics of Carson's throwing, and I think that Doug is sensitive to that question, and Carson certainly is sensitive to that question, because it's something that is an issue and has been an issue since he's been a rookie, and it's something he's worked on diligently. I give him a lot of credit. He's always kind of doing stuff to try and improve his mechanics. But when you can't complete a 5-year, pass to Ertz on a flat route, and it sails over his head by 5 yards, I mean, that's mostly probably a mechanical issue.
So, what is it? In your best guess, as to the mechanical issue, because there are times when it really works. There's times when he looks fantastic. The first quarter and a half against Washington, he was accurate throwing dimes. Even during a couple of the drives, he looked really good on Sunday. What is the come how it comes and goes?
I think for Carson, and I've heard this and talked to a lot of people. I wrote a story about this 2 weeks ago. One of the problems is Carson's, would you say, his best throws are often when he's off balance. When he's out of the pocket, he's moving. And I feel like he relies on that too much from the pocket. So he's not setting his base and throwing from that, repeated motion. I mean, a lot of what quarterbacks do in the NFL is what pitchers do in Major League Baseball. I mean, it's a repetitive motion, and it's getting it right so that each time you do it, it's the same type of throw. Now, look, obviously every throw is going to be different to some degree, but you have to have kind of the same template, the same base when you are throwing from the pocket, and you have to throw from the pocket in the NFL. I mean, that's just a part of playing the game at that level. And I think from what I understand, Carson sometimes doesn't do that even when he has to, he'll make the harder throw than he really needs to do. And I think that was kind of evident on the interception, the pass that he threw to JJ in this pass game. If you look at it, he's overstriding. He's trying to put a little extra on the ball. And what happens when your base is, when you're overstriding, mm-hmm. you can't get the necessary torque mm-hmm. for the velocity. And that's why that pass. And now I'm going to ask Carson this question in a little bit. If he had to do it all over again, would he not make that throw based upon the decision, or would you actually want that throw back?
Right.
And just throw it the right way? Because I feel like if Carson does zip it in there with the right mechanics, he probably completes it.
So,
The decision probably wasn't great, but my point is, there's plenty of times where Pat Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, and you're like, well, what are they doing? And
right.
they make just an unbelievably great throw. And
go back to the one he makes in the back of the end zone against Washington last year during the 4-game run.
Right, to Miles Sanders. Or just, remember the pass, the Seattle falling, this is 3 years ago, falling to the ground, the pass he threw to Corey Clement against the Redskins when he just threw it almost sideways. It was just right on a line to on a rope to Corey Clement. And he's made those passes before, and you like that aggression, but you have to know when to pick your spots. But I also wonder, you know, if the aggression is not being supplemented by proper throwing mechanics.
So go back to the relationship between Doug and Carson. You know, there's all kinds of speculation. You're close. You've been down there before the pandemic. I mean, you kind of see it. I mean, what are those two, you know, close to being on the same page? Are they close, period, as you know, worker? I mean, you know, coaching quarterback. I don't know. I mean, you would know better than we would.
Yeah, they get along from what I understand. I don't think there's any issues. I mean, again, Doug kind of gets along with everybody. Doug certainly has his moments, but I think for the most part, because he is an amiable fella, certainly, you know, withstanding the media at times. But, you know, no, I mean, I think even with Jimmy, he's kind of joking a little bit there. And I think with Carson, I think they do have a good relationship because Doug is easy to get along. But I wonder, because if Doug's so easy to get along with, does he bend too much to Carson's will? And that was certainly the case with Mike Rowe. They butted heads. He butted heads with Flip and Reich. Now, but that, I mean, that's part of it. You know, that happens all the time. I mean, I almost feel like you need that.
I know he butted heads with those guys, Flip and Frank, but he also respected those guys.
He was younger. He was more the pupil. He was still learning the game. Those guys had a certain gravitas, you know, that maybe Mike Rowe didn't have, because Rowe had never been OC in the NFL. You know, Press is a guy that he kind of grew up with in the NFL. He was just quite a control coach when Carson was drafted, and, you know, moved up to quarterback coach and is now pass game coordinator. I do hear that, you know, Press will point out stuff to him. I don't know if it's strenuous, you know, is he really kind of getting his point across in a certain way that maybe sometimes Carson needs to hear it. But, you know, Carson is strong-headed. He knows this, he's a type A guy. I've written about this plenty of times. I don't think it's as bad as maybe the rumor mill is making it seem. But it's something certainly that has to be taken into account when you assess Carson Wentz's current play.
All right, so is the whole thing on Wentz?
No. No. I mean, you know, Sean McVay did a pretty good job of scripting a game plan to get what I think is a inferior quarterback, at least inferior to Wentz in terms of talent, and made him look like Joe Montana. I mean, so there are things that Doug can do to help Carson out. And, you know, I look at this past Sunday, and again, I don't know, you know, Carson's influence on this or not, but they had 12 personnel, like, was it like 90% of the time?
Yeah.
And this is going to be a problem moving forward for them, because the off season was spent adding speed, and, you know, add speed certainly at the wide receiver spot. And if you go on 12 personnel 90% of the time, you're not getting that speed out there as much as you want to. And, you know, I can understand where they're coming from. Two of their best offensive skill guys are their tight ends, Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. But, and certainly you get a matchup, favorable matchups here and there. You get, you know, a linebacker on a tight end there often when you have both those guys out there. But we're not talking down the field throws in a lot of cases. And that's what this offense, you know, they came out and did it in week one, and hit on some, didn't hit on others, but you didn't see it at all. And I know that the Rams were playing back, but you can complete downfield throws against the cover two. I mean, it's not like it's not.
Deshaun had a living running by a cover two.
Right. So I wonder, it's just, you know, Doug's got a difficult act. Balance to strike here. It was interesting in the first week they did have 0-2 personnel, which on several plays, and I think I wonder if we'll be seeing more of that. Now, that takes Miles Sanders off the field, but you know, two tight ends and three wide receivers, that's maybe one way to get around it, but you're not going to do that very often.
No.
It's going to be a couple plays every week.
So all right, so is this thing fixable?
Yes.
Are you, for as far as being a playoff team?
I was just going through the numbers. So, you know, the one thing they have going for them is there's 7 playoff spots this year. There's an additional one. And the other thing they have going for them is the NFC East is not strong. So since 2008, 117 started 0-2, and only 11% have made the playoffs. Since 1990, only 30 that have started 0-2. But again, that extra playoff spot could help them. Look, I mean, I know playoffs, we shouldn't. Playoffs, you know, Jim Morris right. shouldn't even talk about playoffs at this point. But look, this Sunday, to borrow a phrase, is not a layup. But if they win this Sunday, and depending upon how they win, you know, certainly that ends a little bit of, you know, the downside that we've seen, obviously, at the beginning of the season. But, you know, you look at the next three games, San Francisco, which is they're really beat
banged up. Yeah.
Really banged up. And then you get the Ravens and the Steelers. Steelers first and then Ravens. I mean, realistically, 2-4 at best, maybe.
Yeah.
I think 3-3 is unlikely. 2-4, you still got hope because you get the Giants the following week, and then you have a bye. The Cowboys. You have Giants and Cowboys. Two games you can win. You got to win those two games, and if you get the 4-4 at the bye, certainly you have a chance. They obviously got fundamental problems. They got to figure a bunch of stuff out. But you know, they have been able to move the ball on offense. Defensively, I felt like this past Sunday is an anomaly a little bit in terms of Jim. I mean, he took it on the chin yesterday, and rightfully so. But it's not all him. There are personnel issues that just aren't going away.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Is that who are, and I appreciated Schwartz yesterday. I thought he was really good in front of you guys. What we don't know about this defense. Like, what are they? And the linebacker thing is scary.
Yeah. Look, I understand you pick a position on defense in the scheme that you're going to undervalue, and it should be linebacker. But to this degree is kind of alarming.
Yeah.
Everybody on the squad is on the roster is like on a rookie contract, or, you know, there's no guaranteed money there. So, okay. You could say, oh, these guys are all playing for something, but you need some proven talent there.
Yeah.
And I mean, when Nate Gary's your number one guy, I just don't understand how you can go into the season thinking that he's going to be the guy to kind of hold that position down. So linebacker is certainly an issue. And safety is an issue too. And I like Rodney, but Rodney's a number two. He's not a number one. And Jalen Mills, to his defense, I mean, he's been tossed into a tough spot. This is a position he's never played before in the NFL. And, you know, we wrote about it and we asked him about it. And we all, you know, total confidence, et cetera. I'll be able to make this move. I played a little bit of it at LSU. I know the defense, et cetera. But yeah, that's a little different than going out there and playing the game at this level. And it showed up. It showed on Sunday, I thought. So, you know, the middle of the field is a problem. And that's the Rams saw that and they went after them.
Yeah.
They went after them. Yeah. Because again, like Darius Slay is a good cornerback. You know, I think he's come out and played really well these first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
See what he can bring to the table.
Shadow corner, yeah.
And you need one of those guys. That's great and all, but I think they focus too much on that, and then again, not on the other areas. And then in games, you can just say, okay, I just won't throw to that guy. I just won't throw to that one player that's been covering him. You know, right?
That's true. Hey, listen, I know you got Carson coming up, so we appreciate it, brother. They're always interesting. Whatever it is, they're always interesting.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, Sunday will be interesting. We'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I
mean, you know.
I feel the same way. That's not a layup.
No, I mean, you know, when you're 0-2, there are no layups. So, you know, I'm doing a story on like 10 reasons to feel optimistic that Eagles can turn this around. And I feel like there are some.
10?
There are glimmers. I found 10. Sound 10.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
No.
Mr. Positive right here. Found 10 reasons why
I like it. I like it, brother. I do. I don't know if I believe it, but I like it. Jeff, you're the best, man. We love you, buddy. Thanks a lot, man. Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Hotline. Yes, Carson is talking, so we'll keep you abreast. And I'm curious what Carson's going to say, and you know how much does he talk about his own mechanics? Jaws talked about his mechanics. You know, they were asked about his mechanics all day. So how much, what does he say? And I like the question that Jeff was going to ask him, which is, all right, the interception. Do you wish you had it back? Or do you wish you just would throw it differently?
Yeah, it'll be an interesting question. The follow-up. Carson, why are you regressing?
You know, it's a good question.
Because Doug thinks you are.
Let's go to Brad. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Brad.
Hi, Anthony. How are you?
Hi, Brad.
Couple quick points and then a question. Number one, when they talk about trading Wentz, it just made me think of Jurgensen for Snead.
Oh,
number two, I miss your hoagie commercials, babysitting. They were classic. I wish they played them more. They just cracked me up. And my main question, it's been pretty much answered, just waiting and listening, which is all I should have done. But overall, from what you've heard and everything, what do you feel the dysfunction within the organization is, in your opinion, from what you've asked and how it's affected?
Oh, Bradley.
And throw Howie into that mix.
Yeah. Could it be that they're just not, they lack in all the areas, right? So the drafting hasn't been good enough.
Right.
The coaching from an XO standpoint isn't good enough. Carson from a mechanical standpoint, not good enough. And it leaks into all the other areas of the team, right? So they're weak at linebacker. And, you know, they don't have enough playmakers on defense. And that goes back to drafting, right? And that doesn't fit Schwartz's system. And then, you know, offensively, you got a dearth of outside talent. Right, like you still are looking. Who is at this moment? What receivers can you count on? DeSean Jackson, right? That's it.
Right.
So I think it's kind of, I think they got lulled a bit, and I do think the injuries on the offensive line hurt. You know, but again, I don't know. Is Andre Diller, can he play?
Yeah.
Right.
I never
that's a fair
like
question.
I'm sorry. I know they keep it like the Kremlin in there, but I'm curious if you know anything about the management dysfunction, where that's at.
Well, again, I think we, you know, the idea of what, Jeffrey and Doug or Howie? What's
yes,
what are you
overall
referencing?
And other people involved? Are they fighting amongst each other? Are there power plays? Is it
killing
the effectiveness of the team?
Yeah. I think it's more, I don't think it's cohesion at the top or friction at the top as much as I think it's execution on all fronts, right? Like if you have mediocre execution, like your draft hasn't been executed well, your coaching has been spotty, and your execution as a player, quarterback-wise, has been spotty. So if you at all levels have issues with execution, what's it equal? The equation equals, you know, being 0-2 and being mediocre.
Yeah, Roseman confuses me because some years he looks like a genius and others he looks like an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I do think part of that is, and you're talking a lot about the drafts. I think part of it is, you know, I think Jeffrey's involved with the draft. I think there's a lot of voices in that draft. And you're right. Listen, for whatever reason, he's the guy because he's the GM. They have not drafted as well as they should been. They should have been.
Okay. One more point. I'd love to meet you, but I hesitate because it might depress you when you see what your groupies look like.
Oh, stop. Come on. You know what I look like. Are you kidding me? Brad, anytime.
Hey, I met you already. You gave me a happy anniversary at the Borgata.
Oh, that's awesome. Brad, anytime.
I'll tell you why you're my favorite.
You're the only guy on radio who apologizes for disagreeing with somebody. I love the way you treat people.
Thank you, Brad. I appreciate. Listen, when the pandemic is over, you come up and hang out, all right?
You got it.
All right, buddy. Take it easy. I think, you know, when we talk about dysfunction, I think it's less on stink. They missed some areas. I don't believe there's a lot of acrimony. I think there's more disappointment, and I think the idea of a lack of execution on all fronts hurts them. Especially when we come to a talent. Like, is this roster a Super Bowl roster? No. All right, let's talk about Parks Casino Street Road, Ben Salem. I'll be there tomorrow, Cousins Corner. All right? You know what I mean? We'll be hanging out. Parks, we love Parks. And as I open up the Parks Casino Sportsbook, don't forget that offer, too. Yeah, risk for your first bet, risk-free, up to $500 for new customers, $500 for new customers. You don't want to miss it. That's right. Hey, Bird's now a 6-point favorite. We're 6.5, so it's down a point. Again, Phil's been brutal, as you know. They are actually a favorite. Go figure. I told you Nuggets last night. I'm going to tell you Miami tonight, plus the 3.5. That's you can get. And don't forget college football. Bama's back. Miami, Florida State this weekend. That's all there on Parks Casino. Again, you with your first open up account and use the code FANATIC, and you get a risk-free bet up to $500. You got to be 21. You got to be in Pennsylvania. See the website for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
What up?
All right, 1 o'clock across the Delaware Valley. Carson is talking now to the media. So that should be kind of enlightening a bit. Curious to what he has to say. We are in a slump. I started the show with the landfill metaphor because our landscape right now, the 4-4-4 landscape, is like a landfill, sans the Flyers. But we have been through it. Yesterday continued with the Phillies. I still can't believe, I can't believe the state of that team. That's mind-boggling to me. They're a game out. Nationally, 8 teams make the playoffs. 8? You kidding? Like, it's almost impossible with their payroll, not to make the playoffs. That's the thing, Andrew, that is amazing to me. I'm flabbergasted by it. You can have that kind of payroll? 60. I mean, that's a feat, P-H-E-A-T, by Klentak. To have the 6th highest payroll in all of baseball. And in a year where 8 teams in the National League make it, to be a game out with 4 to play. Wow. That's outrageous.
It's pretty bad. It's a total collapse.
What is it?
Well, it stinks. I'm currently rolling on Carson, so I can't do it. Sorry. Yeah. By the way, that quick show recap you did is brought to you by Dietz & Watson. Dietz & Watson, family-owned heritage dairy stores, who make their hoagies with premium Dietz & Watson meats and cheeses. To find the area's best hoagies, visit DietzandWatson.com. By the way, I heard Jeff's question, and Carson said he has to be smarter with his decision-making.
So he didn't choose which way?
He didn't do a mechanical thing. He said he's
that's the decision-making. Yeah. Well, actually, that's actually the answer I wanted to hear. Because you can't make that. I don't care. You want the throw back. I mean, that's first down. You can't take that kind of risk on first down. Chris in Warrington, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Chris.
Thanks for getting me on, Ant.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, believe it or not, I'm going over the George Washington Bridge right now. So
wow.
I started calling you in Warrington.
Again, it's so
I'm
busy now. I feel bad, though, you know.
Nah, I'm teasing you. Look, there's the Phillies and the Eagles, in my opinion, my humble opinion, are ailing from the same problem. The fish rots from the head down. That kid, Roseman, wouldn't know a football player if it bit him in the rear end. I'm sorry. You know, let him be the money guy. That's fine with me. He doesn't know football talent. That's the problem with this team. Look, I get it. You know, Wentz isn't playing that well right now. But you made the point. He looked like a world beater early on in the Washington game. And he had moments in the last game. That team is bereft of young talent. And the only reason for that is non-football people are picking football players. I've never heard of such a thing. I'm in the construction industry. Uh-huh. I don't get a chiropractor to build the building for me. It's ridiculous. Help me, Ant.
Here's the thing, right? I feel your pain, brother. I really, really...
Dude, it's absurd. This guy couldn't pick an All-Pro if they handed it to him.
Yeah.
Name me one, because the guys that have made the Pro Bowl weren't his picks. He didn't pick Ertz. He didn't pick the tackle. He didn't pick any of those guys. Name me one guy. There's not a single linebacker that can play in this league. Not one of them.
No, but
Gary's a special teamer. He ain't a linebacker.
I agree with you. I do 100%. I agree with you. Here's my thing, is that part of the devaluing of the linebacker is the whole that's a whole organization wide decision. I'm with you. I don't get the Hurts pick.
Dude, why do you pick a quarterback in the second round?
I know.
You think you could have got a linebacker that could play?
But let me ask you a question. Yeah, I mean, listen, Howie deserves a lot of blame. But so
dude,
does
Doug.
Do you think, and I'm going to tell you, I don't think it's the Howie Roseman autonomy draft. Let me ask you a question. I think the owner has a role in it, and I think the head coach has a play. Do you think the Eagles would take Jalen Hurts with a second-round pick and Doug not be on board?
I actually do.
No, I don't.
Here's why I do.
Yeah.
That quarterback factory stuff, like he made an analogy back to the Packers. That's a bunch of BS. You know, he's just a guy that toes the line. They're paying him $7 million. He's going to say whatever they want him to. I think Doug Peterson caught lightning in a bottle to win the Super Bowl. Yeah. I think he's an average coach. I'm not saying he stinks. That would be idiotic. You don't get there.
Right.
You stink.
Sure.
You know, but he's not that good. And I think that's what Lurie and Roseman want. They want yes men that are just going to take the big paycheck and move on. Because those two knuckleheads don't know a damn thing about football players. God bless me and save me. Get a guy that knows football.
You know
what I mean?
I hear you, bro. Listen, Chris, hang in there, man.
I wish.
It's a difficult time. I mean, I feel the same way. I feel defeated and beaten, you know? I do.
I just think I love your opinion. I love your show. But sometimes you're such a nice guy. You try to be cordial about, your comments and all. And I get it. But, man, somebody's got to light a fire under these people.
I don't know. Did you hear my first hour where I cut the whole thing? A dump?
I heard hissing flies? But here's the thing, though. If they get rid of Wentz, they're a bunch of morons.
I agree. I said the same thing. I feel the same way.
Yeah, it ain't the kid's fault.
I feel the same way. Thanks, brother. I do. I feel the same way. I mean, I've had enough. I don't know what to say anymore. How many times? I'm not a cheap shot guy. I've never been a cheap shot guy. I just give you exactly how I feel. And I don't know. I mean, what's there to feel? I don't know how much worse I can give you. I give you the example of it being a dumpster. But the whole thing is a landfill right now, with the exception of the Flyers. There's nothing good. Right? Like, we're, I can't believe the Phillies. The roster of the Eagles is not good. I hated the pick. I didn't mince any words after that pick. You were with me, Andrew.
Yes.
I hate now. That pick.
It stinks!
He said nothing.
Nothing?
No, he's confident. He believes in his team. Yeah, he believes in his guys.
That's who he is. That's fine.
Yeah. Good. He's a good dude.
Yeah. Provolone Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Provolone.
Yo, Cuz.
What's up there, Joey?
Here's a couple issues that I have with the game and what I see. You got a ton of headsets. You got a ton of coaches on the sideline. Carson gets out there in the huddle, second down, third down, fourth down. I don't care. If he doesn't like the personnel, this guy is practicing with them every day. I know people need a break. I get it. But he lines up. He doesn't like the personnel. Burn a timeout. I mean, how does it get through all of the coaches into the huddle, into the play, and then you line up and you go, wait a second. Deshaun's not on the field. Wait a second. You know, you don't have your running back on the field. You got all these guys in there that are basically second, third stringers. And listen.
White, yeah, but that's not Wentz's call, though, Joe. That's not...
My point is, he can come to the line of scrimmage and say timeout. Like, you don't need to run the play with that personnel. It's not a must. You can burn a timeout there. I just don't get. I don't understand.
Yeah, honestly, Joe, real quick, he's not calling timeout because Deshaun Jackson's not on the field.
Okay, yeah, but shouldn't he?
No.
Let's think about this.
No.
Cause,
first of all, you're not burning a timeout because the coach doesn't put the – that's not your – that's
– I may – listen, in a normal circumstance, I may not call a timeout. But when you're dealing with going from Deshaun and Rieger to the guys that they're sending out there, guess what?
If that's not all right. That's all Peterson.
They stink. These guys stink.
I agree with you. But that's not on Wentz. That's on Peterson.
I'm not saying it's on Wentz. What I'm saying is, you know, conventionally you're right. You don't call. But if I'm Carson, I'm saying I don't ever want to run and play with these guys again.
Here's the thing. First of all, you can't do that and show up your teammates. You can't do that. You could never do that. It's never okay for a guy to do that.
One last thing, Ant.
Yeah.
They come out on that fourth down, right?
Uh-huh.
Why the bunch formation? Why not spread it out and let Carson roll out and attack? Well, I mean, I haven't really seen Carson even break out of the pocket maybe one or two times all year. The guy used to be a double threat. Now it's like they're trying to force him to be a pocket passer. I mean, some of his best games are when he's rolling out. Let's face it. It's like they changed everything up on him. I don't understand it. I'm so confused.
I know. I feel the same way. I get you, brother. I do.
I mean, I'm going from driving down to Jacksonville in 04 and the Super Bowl, you know, 3 years ago to now. Get rid of it. Move the team in the middle of the night. Go ahead. Get away from me. I'm over it. You know what I mean? I'm over it. What's the next book going to be? Gloom and Doom? You know what I mean?
Believe me. Yeah, it's not this, that's for sure.
The sports gods are so mad at us for something. What did we do?
Maybe this is the trade-off to win that Super Bowl because was certainly some divinity involved in that team winning, right?
Yeah, and think about it. The gods didn't just get even in football. They got even in baseball. They got even in basketball. Did the tank really? Did it really leak into every sport?
I know.
Yeah, man.
I know. See, bro. I hear you. Oh my God, Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Greg.
Hey guys, sorry about my connection earlier. I'm not sure what happened, but I made the mistake of watching the second game last night of the Phillies, and I was really starting to get into it when Hector
actually seemed to figure out how to pitch and, you know, had two good innings. And then, Workman comes in. You know, how can you have a closer that has a setup pitch that's a batting practice fastball and his curveball, his out pitch is a hanging curveball? It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's that whole bullpen is absurd. It's a one big mock.
But, you know, I mean, the closer usually is the cream of the
crop. Come on. Listen, he's not a closer.
No.
He's not a closer. No one believes he's a closer. Not even himself. He's not a closer. You can't have a closer with one pitch. That's not a 105-mile-an-hour fastball.
I agree. I mean, I think it's Klintak's got to go, and you know, I'm breaking the glass again. I can't watch. It's too painful.
Yes, I get you, brother. I know the feeling. This is an ugly, ugly day. Thank you, Greg. What do you got? You got an old poll?
Yeah, it's not the poll of the day. We have a couple polls running, and they're, of course, brought to you by Marvin E. Cantz Heating and Air Conditioning.
Can I stick a poll in my eye?
Marvin E. Cantz Heating and Air Conditioning is open and able to assist you with any emergency service and replacement needs, including installation of air scrubbers and other air quality products. Visit MarvinEcantz.com. But this poll of the day was the poll of the day on March 16th of 2016. This was your poll in the morning. Would you trade 10 years of meaningless Eagles football?
That was Jamie's poll.
For one guaranteed Super Bowl now, right? So this was 1 year.
Yeah, let it show that I was against it.
Okay, this was 1 year before the Super Bowl. This was actually, this was following the 2016 season, right? Or no, 2 years before. 71% said no brainer, 29% said no way. Yeah. So, maybe it is because of us sort of signing a deal with the devil. With our own blood, the Eagles to win a Super Bowl for 10 years of meaningless football.
Yeah. See, I never wanted to do it. I still don't. I get too much enjoyment out of the football season.
Right.
You know, but does the Super Bowl help you now? Does that Super Bowl help you now?
Popping in the DVD is not going to do it for me.
No, it's not. No. And here, the problem is, too, it empowers certain people. You want to talk about picking players and all this other stuff. Let's go to Mitch. Where are we at? Chris and Penn Salk. And Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's up, buddy?
What are you doing, buddy?
Oh, name recognition. Two words. For the Eagles brass and the owner, if they're listening on this great Anthony Gargano show, so they should be listening. Patrick Queen.
Oh, LSU, baby.
Yeah, that's my sister-in-law. That's my brother's wife. She grew up in Baltimore, and she calls me up. She's been calling me every Sunday and saying, Patrick Queen, and hanging up on me. Felicia, if you're listening down in Naples, Florida, I never liked you. I just love you because you married my brother. I don't want anyone making the playoffs, and this is three card money up in New York. Follow the black card, because you know his cousin wins, and you get shackled for all your money. I mean, we got a quarterback coach that knows nothing about being a quarterback or playing a position. It just doesn't make sense, man. It's like you tell Moss to drive his brother to baseball practice tonight. It's just I don't understand it. I mean, and the Sixers job, who would want it? They've been looking to change the front office. It's going on a month now. Alan Brand said that 3.5 weeks ago. Nothing's changing, man. Nothing's changing. It's a dumpster fire. And I appreciate Tim McManus so much, and our local beat writers. When Tim McManus came out 3 weeks ago and said, I don't know why everybody's surprised. Jeffrey Lurie is definitely heavily involved with that office. He just does it quietly. And with personnel and all,
I've said it a bunch of times. Yeah. I mean, you heard me say it.
Oh yeah,
you know, I mean, in reference to JJ Arcega-Whiteside,
That was his bowie. And I got Metcalf scoring his ninth touchdown last week.
Yes.
Right? And J.J. Dynamite has 10 catches for his career.
Yeah.
And this kid's got 9 touchdowns. It's just, it's like marrying your cousin, man. You just shouldn't do it. I'm not even mad at it. But I'm not wasting my – and I'll watch because there are teams. They're not their teams. Even their owners are our teams. And they better never forget it. I'll watch. But I'm not getting pissed off, man. It's like you get – when you got your dog, you trained it, right? If you didn't train it and it peed on your floor every day 3 years later, should you kick the dog in his ass? Nah. Pee because nobody told him not to do it. It's just – it makes no sense. There's no rhyme to reason. And I told you this last year, man. That kid – they're going to kill that kid. I told you a year and a half ago with all that bad drafting, that kid's going to go into his 7th, 8th year, and he's going to go somewhere else and thrive, and Howie Roseman is going to continue to have a job, man. Give the boys your son's hugs and kisses.
Thanks,
and
buddy.
All the good birds, I love you, and I'm going to go eat my bada bing from Primo's.
Enjoy. All right. 610-632-0975.
Have you played quarterback in the National Football League?
Oh, my God. 610.
You know, it's a good question.
Oh, God. Stop. Please don't do that. It is.
Thanks!
Yes. Thank you, Rock. That's our house. One more time. Stinks. Yeah. Stinks. That's us right now. That was my first hour with the buzzing flies. Let's forget it. Let's take a time out. Let me tell you about Parks Casino. Street Road, Bed Salem. There's a happy place for you. In fact, tomorrow night, Cousins Corner, live from Parks Casino, Street Road, Bed Salem. It's fabulous. Just an awesome spot. So check out the app because the sportsbook is awesome. But you can have the sportsbook in your hand when it comes to the app. And right now, if you sign up your new user and you deposit, you can get a free bet up to $500. That's right. Use that code FANATIC to get your risk-free bet up to $500. So here's the deal. Right now, I like the Heat tonight, plus 3.5. You got Football Sunday, Birds, 6-point favorite. I don't know. You got the Battle of the Injuries, Niners, Giants, San Fran, -4. Pittsburgh's -4 over Houston. You can check it all out. The Phillies are a favorite in the last game today. Oh, my God. But listen, there's some fun. Go to parkscasino.com/PA. Use the promo code FANATIC. Get that risk-free bet up to $500. You got to be in Pennsylvania. You got to be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
You know what I need? Andrew? Because we today's like, I don't know if it's the bottom, but it's close to it, man. After those 2 baseball games yesterday, after the week we had. And oh, by the way, yeah, the Bulls have a new coach. And it might be the one guy you wanted, Billy D, right?
When's that conversation start? Would you rather have
Billy D or Mike D'Antoni? No,
Billy D in the Bulls roster,
right?
Or Mike D'Antoni in the Sixers roster.
Yeah. Anyway, it's been a rough, what a rough time. Make me smile, would you? With a little pig pen showdown.
Okay, everybody gather around. It's time for the pig pen hold down.
We're
Romero makes an unbelievable entrance from the bullpen.
Two on, one out. Tying runs at second. Soto, left field. Well hit. See you later. First home run of September. It drives in three, and the Nats lead 4-2.
You get down to the left-handed hitting Yadiel Hernandez.
Good swing. Tailing left field corner. Thames will score easily. And the Nats grab one of those runs right back. Andrew Stevenson again. Turns on it. Right field corner. Another extra base hit. Another RBI.
That one's out toward right field. Going back on it is Harper. And it is gone. Oh, my. A two-run walk-off home run for the 32-year-old rookie Hernandez. And the Nationals have just swept out the Phillies. You just can't make this stuff up.
Sorry, it wasn't good enough. Sorry, it wasn't good enough.
I feel better. It always makes me feel better.
What's the matter? You don't like my house? My house stink? That's right, it stinks!
That's our house right now. That's our 4-for-4 house. First thing I thought of today was that.
Well, that's right, it stinks!
That's right. I am walking on a 4-for-4 landfill. I look around me and I just see I hear the buzzing of the flies. And it stinks.
Sorry, it wasn't good enough.
Yes.
Some guy comes up to me, asks if I want to fight the big fight. Sure, I'll fight the big fight.
Yeah, I'll get my face kicked in.
Got no legs.
Yeah, that's where we lie right now.
I'm with Matt. You don't like my house.
Mickey.
Brutal. Worse is giving Moss the keys to your car to drive and to the baseball practice, yeah. Or vice versa. That was hilarious.
Hilarious.
So below Joe gets in. It's sad.
Yeah.
It's so sad. And Tunis can get the drop right. It says, we don't care. Like, you've given out all these winners and the last couple since Friday or Saturday. You had Denver last night. And I can't even enjoy a little extra money in my bank account.
Oh, really? I forgot all about that.
Oh, dude, I did first half money line, first half plus 3.5, second half money line, second half plus 6.5. Yeah. And they were winning every, they had to lead both halves, of course, and they outright won. So it was a beautiful night, except for, you know, Nola. Oh, my God. So the president of the Freeze fan club.
How about that? Chase King Jom checking in, killing Nola.
Dude, I had to rack my brain. I'm like, wait a second. I'm like, is it Tasty Cake Dom who's Mr. Freezer? Is that another call? I'm like, because he came out so against like the norm that it confused me for a second. I'm like, no, he's Mr. Free Fan Club, and he went soft.
So he's really soft. He's soft. He said, wow.
Dude, and this is what's sad. I mean, the Phillies are sad. I mean, just sad. But so I just found out that Zach Taylor is a McVeighite. He came from a McVeigh tree for Cincinnati. So the Cincinnati head coach,
yes,
is going to look at the playbook that McVeigh used on Sunday.
Yes.
We can run all that. We've been practicing all that.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a whole.
Why not? They're going to lose to the Bengals now?
I don't know.
I mean, really, they're going to lose to Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's going to get his first win behind that offensive line against the Eagles. 33-year-old
rookie. Can home run, get homer, and win a game. Why can't a rookie with that kind of pedigree
right.
go into Philly with no fans? I mean,
right.
Here's what's funny. God rest his soul, Jim Johnson. If Jim Johnson was going into this game, that kid has no chance.
Right.
Speaking about seeing ghosts.
Yeah.
He would have seen them, you know, the Christmas ghosts of Christmas past,
right.
present and future. He'd be lost. But with this guy, I don't get it. Like, pressure is the name of the game now these days.
Oh, yes.
And he can't spell it. You can spot him the ESSURE and he can't spell it.
Sure.
You know? Yeah. It's
I listen, I hear you, brother. It's grim, but they got to beat Cincinnati, no? Like, if they lose to Cincinnati, then it's just, you got to roast on a, then they're on a spit. Right, well, Mr. Did you play NFL football? How about the balls on him? Seriously. I mean, yeah, dude, you didn't play.
Have you played quarterback in the National Football League?
Did you play baseball or football? Because you always wore a baseball cap.
Would you have three more starts than the average Joe Blow from down at the shipyard?
Exactly. I mean, you got a lot of stones to try that out. I mean, listen, I don't want to get nasty, but...
But he's getting nasty with us. Like, I understand he's enduring the losses too, but he gets to endure the losses with $1 million bank account. We're sitting here in COVID-19 era, you know, pandemic, and we have to endure the Sixers fiasco, the Phillies crumbling again under non-cap, under, you know, Joe.
Yeah.
And we have to put up with this football team where you're saying they can't lose to Cincinnati. Well, I don't know. Well, that defense doesn't show me anything. I gave the defense a pass the first game, remember? Because I said, well, they gave up 225-yard drives and 245-yard drives. But the Eagles have given up more scores on average than any other football team this year. So how am I supposed to feel confident that Joe Burrow can't come up in here and throw up 28 or 35?
Yeah, I know.
That means the quarterback who presses as soon as the game's tied, 0-0 when they kick off, he's pressing already. He feels like he's got to be ahead. I don't know, man.
I know. I hear you, brother.
Peace, brother.
Peace. Frankie, you're on 97 by the Fanatic. Frankie.
This is a true emergency. I repeat, a true emergency. Grant's breaking the glass. That's Frank. I stopped. I want to go to the nearest bunker. Put our heads between our legs and kiss our asses goodbye. Come on, Greg. Hey, Hoss, you play that Tommy Hunter drop, you can stick that up your giggy.
Sorry it wasn't good enough.
Cause if your bowels are still roaring, eat bananas and truffle
fillers. Listen, that's the only thing roaring in the 20s.
I love your analogies. It's not fair to us. It truly isn't.
No.
Your landscape, I love your landscape analogy. I swear, I saw Stephen King walking the streets of Westchester yesterday morning. Anthony, he couldn't script a more macabre landscape that is, how do you say, presenting before us.
Yes.
Ugh.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Macabre. Now I'm at macabre.
Yes. It's a great word, by the way.
You know, one shining, one little, vibrant piece of foliage in your landfill is that we only have five more games with Maddie.
Yeah, well, I mean, I hope, right? I know he's got to go. I mean, listen, I'll celebrate for a week when he's out.
Yes.
He and McPhail, we'll make the show a party. You want to talk about a celebration? I'll get the pandemic crew in here.
Yeah, what does Andy McPhail do again? That smug. God in heaven. You know.
I know.
If I may, can I just touch on the Eagles?
Sure.
If I was a fantasy football guy, I'm not. I pick every opposing tight end the rest of the year. I mean, it's terrible.
Yes. Terrible. Terrible.
Sunday, do I have a minute?
You got 30 seconds.
Ah, yeah. The only saving grace, I kept saying Sunday, and to my wife, oh, well, Dallas is going to lose. They're going to go down.
Oh, how about it? You're so right, Frankie. Oh, my God.
I was watching my phone and it unraveled. Oh, they have a bride speech littered with F-bombs.
Like, you knew they were coming. They were going to make it a game, right? But you didn't think they had enough to come back and win unless the Falcons give you the game. They give you onside kick.
The onside kick was the top.
Yeah, Frankie, great stuff. Can you still? I still can't believe that, Andrew. How does that? How did that happen?
Yeah, Atlanta didn't know the rules. They didn't know the rules. There's no way they did. They all just backed up, and as soon as got to 10 yards, they dove on it.
Well, it's for our hands, guys. They're the blockers for the hands, guys.
That was They don't know the rules.
That's unreal.
That's a poorly coached team, but he's Marvin Lewis and won't get fired.
Yeah. Yeah. That's horrible. Horrible. And you figure that of all the things, right? Like, to make it worse for us, they win. And you watch. That's going to propel them.
That's the Jake Elliott.
Yeah. Yeah. Vinny, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Vin.
Shannon.
Hi, Vin.
Man, I'll tell you what, cuz the last time we spoke, we were in the bubble. The Sixers were playing. The Flyers were, you know, controlling the Canadians. Life seemed like it was going to be okay. You know, I didn't have final expectations for the Sixers, but, you know, we thought the Flyers were going to make the push. And now, you guys couldn't have coined it better. I feel like I'm in a minefield with shrapnel stuck up my rectum because there's bombs going off everywhere, and I don't even know what to do. I mean, I'm a Wentzman like you have been the entire time, but it's hard not to question this thing right now. I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if it's him. I don't know if it's the personnel. They look like a train wreck through two games.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. I know you guys, I know you don't have answers. This is like a vent session. No, exactly.
You know, today is no answer today. Today is just purge.
I mean, I don't even know where we go from here. If they lose, if Joe Burrow gets his first career win on Sunday, I mean, I don't even know what's going to happen. I can't fathom 0-3 after losses to the Washington football team and the Cincinnati Bengals. It's like a bad dream.
And here's the thing, is that it's not out of the realm. The line opened 6.5 down to 6. Not that that's anything, but
right.
Still. You know,
I mean, yeah, you got to hope Schwartz has something. I mean, the personnel-wise, like you said, we're playing with no second level of defense. We can't generate a pass rush, which puts our secondary, you know, at a loss. And the middle of the field's wide open. I mean, this kid's going to get his first career start at tight end for the Bengals. He might have a 100-yard game.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. I hope the kids are well. I hope the boys are playing football or whatever.
I hope your family's play as well.
Thank you, my friend.
Oh, man. God bless you, bro. How's that little Tank doing?
Oh, dude, he's awesome. He's bummed he couldn't play football this year because, you know, Burpo got postponed with the COVID. But, you know, my daughter's still killing it, you know, playing a couple different softball leagues and doing all that. So, yeah, man, like I said, as long as we got our kids, man, we can live vicariously through youth sports, man. Forget our professional sports for a while.
I can dig it, brother. Vinny, thank you, buddy. Oh, man. Chris. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Chris.
Anthony, how are you, man?
What's going on, brother?
So I'm in New Jersey. I'm a New York sports fan, but I love Philly sports radio. Listen for years, you know. And here's my take. I got a Sixers coach for you, I want to say, at the end. But with Wentz and the Eagles,
yeah,
I feel worst thing that happened to Wentz is they won that Super Bowl of Falls. I got a feeling he's not long for Philadelphia. I think he goes to another team. I don't know how it works out. I just feel like Foles stole his thunder, man. And it's hard to win a Super Bowl, right? So
right.
I'm with you. I'll take the Super Bowl right now. And then if I got to go through some years, because how many teams are...
No, I was I'll be honest with you. I was against that. I would never trade 10 years of football. I love football.
But you're
season.
Working towards the same goal, right? It's always about the Super Bowl.
Right, but what happens is once you win the Super Bowl, and at least this is the fun, fictitious, we're going to make a deal with the devil, then I got 10 years where I'm not going to win. And if I can't win for 10 years, that's going to sap every October, November, December, January.
And Wentz, the Jets would take Wentz over Darnold any day of the week right now.
Well, they're going to have Trevor Lawrence.
But so let me drop this to you.
Yeah.
Sixers next head coach.
Who you got?
Patrick Ewing.
Patrick Ewing?
Former player.
Nah.
Big man.
Nah.
I'm telling you, respect. They need a play. They need a guy who played. They need a guy who played. I watch those guys. They're not good for each other. They're not the future. They have no heart. They have no soul.
Oh, my God. You're killing me.
I love you, man. You're I love Philadelphia.
You're saying that wait a second. You just said that you were talking about Embiid and Ben Simmons? That they're
Embiid and Ben Simmons, talent. They're talented guys, but they got no soul. They're not into it.
Well, let's see. Let's see them on the
renewed
coach.
Players. They're halfway players. Never going to happen. I'm telling you, I'm never going to happen. And
are you trying to push me over the?
I'm not trying to, man. I'm a Knicks fan, but I'll take your Sixers issue all day of the week. And I'm saying, put Patrick, my favorite player growing up, to the Sixers. Here's the reason why: the guy was a beast. The guy was a champion. Yeah, I know he could play on Hakeem. I'm telling you, he's the guy. He's the guy, man.
Yeah.
Bring him to the promised land.
Yeah. I think D'Antoni actually will
Mike D'Antoni? What did he do with the Rockets? You're the best player in the league.
Listen, he's a smart guy.
Arguably.
I think he comes in with a plan that's not married to what he usually does. And he did overachieve.
I understand.
You know? Listen, Chris, you hang in there, brother.
I gotta go. But listen, thanks, I got to tell you something. Next time you're in Wisconsin, you got to get more cheese, man.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm
you
not
told that
back
story. You were in Wisconsin, man. You know.
Oh,
you
the provolone. Yeah, that was. Yeah, I don't do the American cheese. That's right. That was. That's funny. You remember?
Yeah,
that.
But I love Philly radio, man. Philly sports radio, man.
Thanks,
I
buddy.
Love it.
Appreciate, it, brother. Yeah, I was just saying. I was in. I went to one. Whatever. It was a long story. I was in the subway.
You wanted a sandwich?
Yeah, I was dying. I was covering NFL. I was at camp, and this is years ago. 20 years ago. And they didn't have regular, all they had was American, not even Swiss. It's Wisconsin.
Yeah, like, this was serious? This big cheese place?
Exactly. That's what he's referencing.
Big violation.
Yeah, big time. Are you nuts? So, the Phillies, they wrap up the big series with Washington.
They're winning today. You know that, right? Eflin's throwing another gem. They're going to do just enough for us to feel good.
You're kidding, right?
No, they're going to win today. Lock.
They're going to win?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I'm already resigned that they don't, that they're out now.
Here's what's going to happen. They're going to win. Both the Brewers and Giants are going to lose. And we're going to go, you got to be kidding me. And then it'll be some final day collapse.
See, here's the problem. If that landfill that we're on, that stinks. Remember, it stinks.
That's right, it stinks.
There's still room for more trash. All right. That's the thing I'm scared about.
Eflin, the ace.
All right. God forbid. Bring out the Legion of Baxters. Stay tuned. Mikey Miss coming up next. Tyrone and Nat. Keep it right here. Everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks for the conversation, too. Have a great day. Be careful. And we'll see you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.